Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I am Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk just a tiny, tiny little bit
a wee
about
tad.
Alex Jones.
A wee tad.
For hours
about
on
Alex
end
Jones.
For... 2 years,
yeah.
Three times a week. That is not a little bit about
no,
Alex Jones.
No, I think that's most people would describe an unhealthy amount
we
of talking about
We talk too much
Alex
about
Jones.
Alex Jones whilst we drink strange beverages.
Novelty beverages. I think
do
we
have
an exciting
Wait,
thing.
Wait, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. Did you find a new place yet?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still waiting to hear back. But it all signs are pointing to yes.
All signs point
We're
to yes.
We're recording this on Saturday, and those those apartment places are closed over the weekend. But the final, like, application and everything went in on Friday. And so I'm expecting I'll hear back on Monday and everything will be good to go. I have a lot less stress on that front.
Perfect.
And I appreciate you asking, and I'm sure the listeners are very, interested to hear. On your news front, we can't talk about it.
No.
There has been some interest in people, like, wanting to know how that story is going and supporting you, in your situation. But we can't talk about it until there's some resolution. So.
Probably. Maybe.
I think that would be the wise thing
technically,
to do.
Technically, yeah.
Probably shouldn't do that.
I think we'd be fine if we did, but it's probably smarter not to.
I think so.
But I have some advice for you, Dan.
Yes.
On moving into your new space.
Yeah.
Find things. Choose what brings
God
you joy.
Damn it.
And
Jordan
et cetera.
Has recently been watching some Marie Kondo videos.
She's the devil.
Okay.
She's the devil. She made me remove a box from my room.
Oh, no.
She made me do it. I watched the show, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, now it has to go. She's the devil.
You've just taken away your own free will in this equation. I think that's sad. And,
she's a witch.
Disgrace. Some people who aren't witches are the people
witches.
Who have supported the show, who are donating and keep this going. And I'd like to take a moment here before we get going to give them a shout out and a thank you. So first, oh boy, you know I'm bad with names.
I do.
This one is, if I'm just going phonetically, it's Merjam. I don't think that's right. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it. It's probably Miriam. Honestly.
Could be.
I'm gonna get, maybe, I don't know. I apologize in advance, but I'll tell you this, you're a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you very much. ... blank. Underscore.
Tom W. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Tom.
Next, Nicholas. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Next, Eeyore Dragon. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
I'll eat you.
Oh, bother.
Oh,
wait, no,
bother.
That's poo. finally, I'd like to say thank you to somebody who donated on a little bit of an elevated level. We appreciate it very much. So, Jermaine, thank you so much. You are now a globalist.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bah, 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 bah.
Thank you so much, Jermaine.
Thank you very much, Jermaine.
If you are out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I like this show, I'd like to support what these guys do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking that button that says support the show. We'd appreciate it.
It would be fantastic.
Now, today's show, Jordan, is not going to be incredibly fun. But before we get to it, there is one more fun thing we shall do. And that is give a very special thank you to Raptor Princess Ian, who sent us some novelty beverages to enjoy on this episode.
Oh, boy.
And it does not disappoint in terms of it being a novelty.
This
is a Manhattan special. Espresso, premium coffee.
Premium coffee.
I like a little cream in my coffee.
I like a little premium.
This is a coffee soda. You want to give it a taste? See
what
I
you think it's a good idea.
I had a prediction that you're not going to like it. I don't know why I predicted that, but, what do you think?
Oh, that's fantastic. That's delicious.
Oh yeah, it's very good.
That is incredible.
Oh my God.
Oh boy, oh, we're going to have to cancel this fucking show. I can't record this until after we've drunk two.
I'm drinking
these.
The rest of these.
Holy
he
shit.
He said a 12 pack. I'm drinking
Jesus
all of these.
Jesus Christ.
That is so good.
There is so much sugar in this.
That is very sweet.
That is delicious.
There is no doubt. Thank you so much, Ian. And I'd also like to take a moment to recognize that there are a number of people who have asked, for an address to send things to. And unfortunately, I'm not at the point where I'm willing to, give out our addresses. Because,
yeah.
I think we're in a position where it's now kind of weird. But Ian has our address from before when he sent me a prosthetic hand.
Right. That does change things
like
a little
way
bit.
Way back when, you know, before
when we were
there were less eyes on the show back then.
Yeah, there were roughly 20 eyes on the show back then.
Yeah, and so everyone, I really appreciate the offers of like little pieces of art and stuff like that. And after I move, one of my things that I intend to do is figure out a way that we can set up a place
like a where PO, people, yeah,
something like
an,
that,
a PO box,
where people can send things, because I really do appreciate it, and I think it's a really cool impulse, and I don't want to disrespect people's generosity or anything like that.
So, absolutely not.
Jordan, today we are going over the day that is March 15th, 2019.
Oh, good. I assume nothing important happened that day.
Nothing. Well,
nothing you can think of, right?
I mean, I guess the day before. The night before.
Fair.
This is Friday of last week, and the night before, our time in the United States time, late that previous night, there was some shootings in New Zealand, in Christchurch, and 49 people are dead. As a result of a gentleman, that's unfair to call him that.
Nope.
A dude,
that
a terrorist,
yeah,
went in and fired on people in a couple mosques engaging in their Friday prayers. I don't want to get too much into that story specifically because, as is the case so often with these things, there are developing elements of it. We know the basics.
Of course.
Certainly, but in terms of, you know, did he have accomplices? What, all that, all the other sorts of elements of it. I don't think, as we record this here on Saturday, I don't feel like we have,
Full reporting.
Right.
The full reporting has not been done, and we're not going to make any claims that we can't.
We know enough to talk about what's going on to an extent, but we don't know enough to pretend that we're experts, in what's happening.
Absolutely not.
Now, Alex, on the other hand.
Oh, of course.
He,
Well, we're in an interesting situation because
this is
next
day.
I know for a fact that, Rush Limbaugh has already claimed, false flag attack,
mm-hmm,
right?
Well,
which
there's a little bit of...
we're on a upward trajectory with our conservative media, right?
Right. From what I understand, Rush Limbaugh has suggested it's a false flag. I'm not sure if he has committed wholly to that line.
Right.
But, I mean, it's wise not to.
Yeah.
I would say.
So I assume that we're in a situation where Alex is going to be far more on the careful side than a...
Oh, that's what you think.
Oh, God, no. But he's being sued right now!
He might be getting sued more.
What a goddamn idiot!
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if any of this is legally actionable, but it's pretty disgusting. And I think that it's probably to a scale that's worse than whatever Rush Limbaugh said.
How?
Well, you'll see.
Couldn't he have learned his lesson?
Nope.
Couldn't he have learned just one lesson?
Nope, because it's pathological.
God damn
it. Here is where we start, and I'm going to tell you this. Alex starts the show on what I would describe as a rocky footing. This is not good. The show starts, the music plays for about a minute. A full minute. And then Alex comes running into studio.
Running into studio.
I imagine he ran into studio.
Oh, okay.
Or else why wouldn't he start when his normal cue comes in?
Right.
Like, it's a full minute of just like, or whatever the intro music was. It's very jarring.
Well, it's the Ides of March, the day that Julius Caesar was killed 2,000 plus years ago.
Okay.
A date that globalists like to launch new wars, launch assassinations, or launch new movements or revolutions. You remember old Charlie Manson in 1969 butchering Sharon Tate and cutting her baby out of her body, thinking it would launch a race war. And we're going to blame black people for doing it. Charlie Manson tried to launch a false flag.
Okay,
so I think we see a little bit of insinuation here.
Oh, I mean, certainly you do.
I don't think he's being very subtle in what he's describing.
No, and like I said, he's off to a fucking rocky start. He's trying to imply that the globalists like to launch these false flags on March 15th as, I guess, an homage to Caesar?
Yeah.
Or like, haha, we took out Caesar
there from the beginning?
Who knows? One of the main problems is that you could do this sort of thing with pretty much any day that something happens to occur on. We have enough recorded history and enough really wild shit that's happened that you can absolutely craft some kind of conspiracy out of just about any date. To test my theory, I imagined a fake terrorist attack happening on May 23rd, a random date I came up with using a random number generator. And now, I will pretend to be Alex crafting pointless speculation about this imagined terrorist attack on May 23rd. Now, you see, the globalists love to attack Christendom on May 23rd because it's a twisted mirror of how way back in 1430, on that very day, one of the great heroes of the West, Joan of Arc, was captured by the Kingdom of Burgundy, who put her to death because they knew that she was the only one who could defeat the Muslims.
Globalists.
I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. Why do you think the Good Friday Agreement was passed on May 23rd, 1999, creating a false flag peace in Northern Ireland?
A false flag peace?
This is starting to hurt my throat.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
You should never have committed that hard. Everybody got it when you started with the first few words.
It was the globalists celebrating the capture of Joan of Arc. It's all right in front of your eyes, people. That's why in 1934, on May 23rd, the real-life Bonnie and Clyde were murdered by the globalist police after they were framed for all those strong-arm robberies and murders that were actually done by Antifa.
That sounds right.
I mean, that's
basically, I kind of believe you.
That's a better version of what Alex does, just choosing a random date.
And I think you did a great job.
Thank
I kind of think May 23rd is a bad day now.
Well, this is all good fun. But the way I imagined this bit going is that I'd come up with a random date and pretend that there had been a terrorist attack on that day. Unfortunately, I don't think that game is even possible to play. On May 23rd, 2014, Elliot Rodger killed 6 people in a murder spree through Isla Vista, California, motivated by his feelings of rejection by women he found attractive. He would go on to become a meme and a bit of a hero to the online worlds where radicalization happens. I promise you I didn't cheat choosing a date and just work backwards from this. I chose a random date to make a joke out of this, and inevitably you find a terrorist attack pretty much any date you're going to randomly choose.
I kind of think that's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably think about that.
It was a grim exercise to think I was doing a bit and end up being like, oh, that's a bummer. Jesus.
Yeah.
Also, important point, the Manson family murders in 1969 happened on the night of August 8th and 9th and have literally nothing to do with the Ides of March. Alex has no idea what he's talking about and just connecting completely unrelated things together. He doesn't care about doing a good job. He doesn't care about having any information. All he cares about is justifying white terrorism and depriving Muslim victims of this terrorist attack any empathy or human decency. He is a complete monster, and he demonstrates it within 30 seconds of starting his show.
Yeah, he got out the gate pretty strong with being a monster. Yeah.
Real hot.
I assume he pulls up and he really stabilizes things. He suggests that we should do some restrained reporting, make sure that we have all the facts are in. And then he literally says, we don't want to be sued.
Man.
I assume that's how he recovers, right?
Man, you really haven't been paying attention these last 2 years.
He says out loud, let's not do what we did during Sandy Hook, and instead, let's not get sued. He says that to everybody in the office. He says that to his staff. He says that on the show, right?
No.
I assume he says, we learned our lesson.
Nope. He doesn't do any of that stuff.
Gotcha.
But you're pointing out that in that first clip, he's kind of insinuating this was a false flag and all that shit. In this next clip, he says he's not saying that it is, but...
Okay, that's... Ugh.
I'm not saying this is a false flag. I'm not saying this is a staged event. I'm saying we need to pull back and investigate every part of this, because there was a famous shooting more than 20 years ago in New Zealand that allowed them to confiscate all semi-auto and then all basically bolt action, to where all you could have was single shot shotguns and rifles with special licenses.
So
that doesn't sound right.
Alex is saying here that there was a staged shooting more than 20 years ago in New Zealand that was used to take everyone's guns, and thus it's important to investigate all the angles of this current day shooting. This is a really rough position to be taking, to be honest. Like, it's really not good. If this is where he's coming from, this is a bad starting position.
Well, didn't I read that the gun laws in New Zealand are incredibly lax?
That's one problem that we're going to get to.
So why would he? Oh boy.
Well, my first point in saying that he's off to a bad, bad start here is that nothing Alex has done or does in the present day about a mass shooting or even a completely benign topic could rightly be called investigating. All he does is obscure things, and for him to pretend that he's doing anything other than blindly and embarrassingly covering up white terrorism is disgusting. Secondly, they didn't outlaw a ton of guns in New Zealand, as you rightly pointed out, back when Alex is saying they did. And I sincerely mean this. Alex is just making shit up about gun laws, which we'll see a demonstration of later in this episode.
Oh, brother.
And he doesn't even realize that he has been invalidated on air. The legal actions he's talking about happened in 1992 when an amendment was made to the Arms Act. And all it did was really, it was create greater registration requirements for gun owners. Among the changes were adding photographs to gun licenses, requiring that license holders reapply after 10 years to have a new license reissued, making it so only licensed gun owners can buy ammunition, that sort of thing. The amendment also created a new category of gun from a legal standpoint, that was the military-style semi-automatic, but it didn't ban them at all. Alex is just making that up.
Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds right.
Thirdly, and most importantly, this wasn't the result of a staged shooting. This was the response to the very real Arimawana massacre that took place on November 13th and 14th, 1990. It all started when local asshole David Gray got into a bit of a fight with his neighbor, allegedly about the guy's dog being too loud. Failing to make progress by arguing, Gray went over to the guy's house and shot him multiple times with a semi-automatic rifle. The neighbor's two daughters were in the house, along with the daughter of the neighbor's girlfriend. Gray found one of the girls, named Chiquita, aged 9, and shot her in the chest. She would survive, but the other two young girls who he found later and shot died on the spot. Gray then set the house on fire. From there, he began shooting at anybody who was around. The girlfriend, who realized that her daughter was in the house, was shot at as she tried to approach the situation to help. People who stopped their cars to try and help with what they thought was just a burning house were fired on. He killed more kids who happened just to be out on the street, one of whom was out looking for his lost dog. This all led to a standoff, which ended with him being shot by the police the next day after he charged out of a house, shooting at them and yelling, "Kill me! Fucking kill me, you bastards!" He didn't actually die immediately and was taken in an ambulance where he yelled at the police for not successfully killing him. He would get his wish, though, and he died from his wounds before arriving at the hospital. When it was all said and done, Gray had killed 13 people, four of whom were 11 years old or younger. One of them was a police sergeant. This wasn't a false flag. This wasn't a staged event. This was the destruction of many, many people's lives at the hands of one man with a bunch of guns. And just because this shit's so stupid, if the globalists did, like, somehow plan this Arimawana massacre just to grab everyone's guns, why the fuck didn't they do the second part of the plan? Why are they so competent about the part of the scam where they pull off elaborate acts of terrorism in order to steal people's guns, but they can't fucking finish step two? It's impressively shitty that Alex can be working to deprive people of their grief and ability to heal in the present while still having time to be a completely inhuman monster to people who lost their loved ones 29 years ago at the same time. He is so bad. This is so bad, this episode. He sucks. I'm laughing at your perplexed face, not any of the content.
We're coming out the gate strong.
I'm really frustrated with this guy today. I'll be honest with you. I'm sick of the bullshit.
I mean, I don't know.
I warned you before we started that some of my research might end up a little bit on the preachy Dan side.
That's brutal. That's fucking brutal. I don't know how to.
If you don't look at that stuff, then you don't realize what he's lying about.
Right.
He's lying about a guy who, for no reason other than he was mad at his neighbor, ended up killing 4 children and 9 other people. Over a 2-day massacre. It's fucked up. It's fucked up that he's allowed to lie about this stuff. No one thinks that was a false flag, except Alex.
Yeah.
And whatever the motivation for the false flag, didn't happen. He's just making that part up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you didn't interrupt me at all. I'm a bit speechless. I'm still trying to put together my feelings on everything that's going on right now, and I'm trying to avoid the biggest trap, I think. The too sensitized to it, you know? Like, I'm desensitized. Like, I don't even know how to process this as a tragedy that much anymore, just because it's become so commonplace. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to process rage at Alex because it's become so rote. It's almost like he's not even performing this. He's just reading a script from the last white terrorist attack, which was probably yesterday.
I honestly think that there are some differences, and we'll discuss some of that towards the end. I know what you mean, and it's really hard to fight back against that complacency normalizing of horror that is such a part of modern life. But you must. You have to fight against it.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that to you as a pep talk necessarily, but as a prescriptive thing. Like, we have to force ourselves to feel these things anew when they happen.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you minimize the reality of what's going on in the world. And that makes things so much easier for people like Alex to play their games. So at this point, Alex starts talking about the manifesto that this guy, this terrorist, put up online before he went and did the shooting.
Right.
There are some issues with this, and we'll talk about some of that on the other side of this clip, but here is how Alex decides to start covering that aspect of the story.
When you actually read the manifesto of the supposed shooter that we have posted on Infowars.com and Newswars.com, you learn why the mainstream media is pulling this down off Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Because the guy praises communist China. He praises all sorts of socialism and environmentalism. And then he demonizes PewDiePie and Candace Owens by praising them.
So there's something really weird going on with this terrorist's manifesto, and it's something that Alex doesn't pick up on for almost the entirety of the show while he's talking about it. Towards the end, Harrison Smith comes in, and he's trying to warn Alex that there's a lot of 4chan, 8chan type of trolling and stuff in the text of it, and that he should be careful about, like, what things actually mean, what are inside jokes. Alex has no interest in hearing any of that stuff and just keeps barreling forward with the position that he wants to take. I think he even shut off Harrison's mic in the middle of talking about it.
While he was trying to explain to shut up?
I don't know exactly, but I think he did. It was a very jarring cut of Harrison's in the middle of a sentence and then it just stops.
Oh, boy.
I'm not entirely sure. But some of the manifesto appears to be straightforward argument being made. But other parts read like winks to corners of the internet that we don't live in. And even more of it reads like traps being set for people to report on, which will then only boost the media coverage of his act. Robert Evans wrote a really great piece on Bellingcat explaining this better than I can, which I recommend that everyone go check out. It's very well done. That said, I do want to point out that this is an impressively unfair act for Alex to claim that this manifesto is pro-China and socialism because it says positive things about them, and then in the same breath claim that it's anti-Candace Owens and PewDiePie because it says positive things about them. This is very literally doublespeak. What Alex is doing is trying to force two conflicting thoughts into his audience's head at the same time, and it's an abusive act. If positive things being said about someone in a terrorist's manifesto can either mean that he's very into those things or that he's demonizing them by association, then the only truth that remains is that only Alex's judgment can be trusted. Anyone attempting to cover reality would never behave like this. It's the exclusive action of a propagandist, and given the circumstances, it's an act of extreme cruelty towards his listeners. I've read over most of the manifesto, and what I come away from it is that this isn't even close to up to par with what I expect out of a manifesto. It's not like Anders Breivik's manifesto, which was definitely way too long and full of insane bullshit and plagiarized content, but what wasn't stolen was sincere, almost to a fault. He was very clear about what he was doing, why he was doing it, and how others could do what he did, too. He included excerpts from his diary about the planning stages of the attack. It was jarringly upfront. This manifesto is clearly someone who is inspired in a big way by Breivik, but is also someone who's lived on the online world for the past 8 years since, and that online manner of communicating slips in from time to time. And those insincere, trolly aspects of the manifesto make it very difficult to assess tone, even in the parts that seem entirely sincere and literal. That said, if Alex wants to cherry-pick lines about eco-fascism and liking China, that sword cuts both directions. For example, the Coast Guard terrorist from last month, he had a manifesto that said, quote, liberalist globalist ideology is destroying traditional people, especially whites, which is basically the guiding principle of InfoWars editorial department, if such a thing even exists. The title of the current terrorist's manifesto was The Great Replacement, which is a reference to the white genocide narratives that run behind almost all of Alex's reporting. All the times he's interviewed white nationalist South Africans, all the times he's yelled about the dangers of variable birth rates and demographic cliffs, Alex is deeply, deeply invested in the Great Replacement narrative that is the title of this guy's manifesto. Like, I'm not saying anything other than the game he's playing is an unfair game. It goes both directions. And I want to be clear about something. I think that Alex absolutely has blood on his hands for this attack, but I don't say that in any way because of anything I read in the manifesto. I've already discounted most of that document as being unreliable narration, at best. Alex has blood on his hands for the constant, irresponsible, excessive, and disgusting demonization of Islam that he carries out and the way he perpetuates the idea that there is no moderate Islam. Alex has blood on his hands for the way that he incessantly calls immigrants and Muslims invaders. Alex has blood on his hands for normalizing and mainstreaming these white genocide narratives that serve to create an existential fear in his dumb listeners. The information ecosystem that he's a part of is not okay, and attacks like this are the natural fruit of that ecosystem. Alex has blood on his hands, and we focus on him because this show is about him, but he's far from the only one. Ignore the dumb manifesto, or take it cautiously with a grain of salt, because ultimately it doesn't matter. Prominent voices on the right have been doing everything in their power to insist that Muslims are incompatible with freedom and white people's idea of civilization for years now. Everyone from Sam Harris to Ben Shapiro, from Alex Jones to Hannity and Tucker and Bill Maher, from every dumb fuck with a struggling YouTube channel to our goddamn president, who in 2016 said, quote, "I think Islam hates us. There's something that, there that is a tremendous hatred there. We can't allow people coming into this country who have this hatred of the United States and of people who are not Muslim." When you ask yourself what happened here, the answer is really simple. It's just yet another person who took right-wing narratives seriously and decided to act on it. If you believe the words that these monsters say and think that it's only a matter of time until there's too many of them to stop them from dominating white people, killing Muslims is one of the predictable outcomes. And there's literally no chance I would ever believe that the Islamophobic media chorus doesn't understand that fully. This attack was the natural endpoint of that rhetoric, and it's been allowed to metastasize, and things are not going to get better until that is addressed. Very seriously, very frankly, and very honestly. Very soul-searchingly. People need to understand the parts of this that they are complicit in, and take a humble, fearless moral inventory. And I don't think that a lot of people, specifically the people I just named,
I was gonna say,
are in any way willing to do that. And therefore, they will continue to be part of the process that feeds this.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with the manifesto. I don't give a shit. It has to do with the world we live in.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. That was a little preachy.
No, that's dead on.
I'm in a mood.
Hey, man. Right. People come to me for yelling, but today you're all about it. Mm. I'm good.
Got a lot of righteous indignation. So, Alex isn't doing good today.
No, I doubt it. I don't think anybody's doing that good today.
I started going through this episode, and, like, I have pages of notes about, like, points that he's making, and I'm like, okay, here, this is stupid. Go fuck yourself, Alex. What are you doing? And then, I 3 hours later, I realized, shit, I'm 3 minutes into this episode.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
He comes out the gate so bad. And he says these things that just are like, this is unfair. Like, the idea, what he's trying to do with the, he's pro-China, but anti-Candace Owens, because he praised both of them.
Yeah, no,
that
made me.
That's a deeply, deeply abusive thing to do to people.
That made me want to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you can, because what he's trying to say there is he's trying to say that the intent behind the manifesto was to attack right-wing figures.
Right.
Because the only way that it could be a false flag is if he was also attacking right-wing figures.
Right.
So in the manifesto, he actually praises all of this stuff because that's what the globalists love.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to say that he's praising right-wingers as part of the plot.
Right.
Otherwise,
everyone will hate him, so if he likes these things.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, everybody who took any time to, like, really look at it and understand, the context of what was going on, like, I read plenty of articles, that came out in the fairly immediate aftermath that were like, yes, in the manifesto he talks about being radicalized by Candace Owens, but it's clearly a joke.
Yeah.
Like, everyone who read it knew it was a joke.
Yeah.
Except for the people who were knee-jerk trying to make something out of it.
Right.
Whether it's the defensive propagandists on the right or the overzealous, overeager, presumable people on the left who want to attack Candace Owens.
Right.
Like, whatever it is, that is exactly an instance of the thing that is in that manifesto as a trap. And it played out exactly how it probably was supposed to.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there are these sorts of things where I don't care to engage with most of the text lest we possibly fall into a trap like that. I would rather look at the larger context and the parts of it that absolutely are sincere.
Yeah, I really don't care about manifestos except as a learning tool.
Yeah, I think maybe.
You know, like, yeah. I don't give a fuck about your manifesto. I don't think it means anything to anyone.
No.
What matters is that you think this is why you did it.
Mm.
And
or this is what you want people to think is the reason you
exactly.
did it. You know, in the era of manipulation.
So the real text means nothing.
It means.
Because we know why you did it because yeah. of what you did.
Yeah.
You
it,
didn't,
it means
you didn't,
little.
I don't give a shit about the Unabomber's manifesto. I don't give a shit what he has to
Fine.
Say. The
totally.
only thing is, what do we need to do to keep people like you from happening? What is the environment
that created
you?
What greater understanding can we reach?
Exactly.
Not from the text, but from everything.
Yeah, you don't get any higher credibility than a fucking self-published Amazon author just because you killed people.
Right. Reading Anders Breivik's manifesto in 2011 probably wouldn't have been deeply as affecting me as it was when I read it for our podcast 6 months ago or
yeah.
9 months ago or whatever. And the reason wasn't because of what he was saying. It was because we now live in a world where you feel the ripples of that manifesto.
Exactly.
You see the effect of it, and you see the people who are very clearly motivated by the manifesto that came out 7-8 years ago.
Right.
Or whatever. So 5 years from now, if I were to read that manifesto, it would probably be very, like, this manifesto from present day, it would probably be deeply affecting because I would see the shockwave that came from it. The people
right.
who were inspired specifically by him in the same way that you can very clearly see that he was inspired by Anders Breivik. So,
which,
like,
is why giving a fuck about the manifesto is the wrong game. It's the wrong game.
Yeah.
You're only providing more space for the people who are not going to listen to you say, look at how bad this is. They're mm-hmm. going to read it and say, look at how great this is. Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit about what he has to say?
Right.
It's about what he did.
I don't think it's the right thing to entirely ignore, but I also don't think it, appropriate to, assume that it's gospel or that it means anything.
Right.
It's a very difficult balancing act, and it's one of the things I don't trust the media to do, period.
Absolutely not.
So it's one of those things that I would rather they just not talk about.
They're gonna
trip over their own dick at some point.
Oh, there's,
you know, it's disgusting.
I would accept a documentarian 20 years from now combing through the manifesto and doing a whole, like, postmortem on life in general through mm-hmm. this manifesto. I don't want anybody talking about it right now because it's just pointless.
Yeah. And we'll hear Alex talk a little bit about it, but not a ton because I don't think his take is very meaningful. But in this next clip, he uses some things and out of context things that he found from the manifesto to make his argument about who he thinks this guy is.
I don't know all the angles of this yet, but I'll tell you this. It's very suspect that in the shooting video that we've reviewed, we're not posting it to InfoWars.com. It's been expunged off the internet, but we've got a copy. We've got some blurred versions we're going to air here coming up for TV viewers. I'll describe them, obviously,
what?
For radio listeners.
Why would you do
what?
That?
What the fuck are
out
you doing?
Gates, he's a weird leftist eco-fascist. In fact, let me give you his words. Exactly. New Zealand mosque terrorist described himself as an eco-fascist who hated conservatism and admired communist China. Paul Joseph Watson. And it's got the quotes from the manifesto.
That doesn't make him left at all. I mean, he's a fascist, for one. Take the eco however you want to take it. And the reason that he admires China, or presumably admires China, is because of their ethnic homogeneity.
Because they're currently
fascist.
Not just that. They're currently holding Muslims in concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing this concurrently with this guy.
I'm not sure if that's, inspires him.
Hundreds of thousands of people disappear.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a piece of his support of China or liking China. I think it's probably more from the context clues of it, him talking
right.
about being an ethno-nationalist.
Right.
That it's more just the idea that it's a country for Chinese people as opposed to being open and accepting. So I think that's probably what he's talking about. Alex wants to use this as, like, yeah, of course, the globalists love China. This guy loves China. He's a fucking globalist liberal. He likes eco stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know what?
Some fucking people on the way far right also really like trees.
It can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
That's not the exclusive domain of leftists.
No. It the impulse I had, the moment he's like, what I think he is a weird leftist, eco-fascist, all that stuff, where it's like, you can just say what you want about somebody.
Yeah.
So that means nothing. In the same way that they think it, if I say he's a white nationalist terrorist, they think it means nothing.
But he does say that he's an ethno-nationalist.
But that's
too.
What I'm saying. My instinct there is to say, okay, fine, let's take left and right out of it, and let's just talk about the issue,
totally.
Which is that this guy has so many guns. But that's the wrong instinct. We can't take left and right out of this. This is a network.
Yeah.
This is a concerted effort by a large group of people who are white nationalists.
I think
you can't take that out.
I think you can take left and right out of it if only because they're clunky definitions.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Because I think you get caught up in too much of the minutiae and people are able to use crafty dodges in order to get around things.
Right.
Like the guy in the manifesto says that he hates conservatives. Because conservatives are just corporatists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that, which is a, you know, whatever.
Who cares?
Who cares? But Alex can then use that to be like, he hates conservatives.
Yeah, exactly.
You think he's like me? I'm like, yes, he is like you because of other reasons.
Yeah.
But just like Alex, you talk about hating Republicans all the time. Like, what do you, don't stand on some sort of a box here. It's a mess. And this is one of the issues that like, it's impossible to nail anything down. And who knows how much is sincere and how much is fucking with people. So it's best not to engage too much outside of just demonstrating, here are the things that Alex is trying to perpetuate, and here's why that's stupid. That's about all we can do.
Right.
We can't nail down any larger conclusions about his words than that, I think.
One thing that frustrates me so much is... I don't understand what they would think if it were to go the other way. Do you know what I mean?
Not exactly.
Like at what point, how many white nationalist terrorist events, have we had this fucking, well, not already this year?
Been a few.
A bunch, right? What if we had the same cluster of, I don't know, any different thing. Anything that attacks these white nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
Would they eventually... How many before they would start saying, wait, let's start limiting guns? No. Or would they just let themselves die over and over again? They would just want a war, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thought experiment. I'm not entirely sure. But what it does come down to is sort of amplification of attacks that are done by Muslims. Like, they safeguard themselves from ever having to have that conversation because they create the worldview and the idea that there is, like, 100 times more attacks against them as opposed to the attacks that they do.
Right.
And that is something that the media is complicit in helping them with.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to our next clip.
There we go.
And the media is white supremacist, white man, white man, white man. But when it's a Muslim running over hundreds of people with a truck, including toddlers,
or blowing up a church,
or shooting people up,
but what about
they go,
this?
Oh, this wasn't Islam, even though they're yelling Allah Akbar. That's my big frustration, is that when radical, out-of-control Islam destroys hundreds of churches in Egypt just a few years ago and crucifies practitioners upside down in the city streets, it's cute, it's funny, CNN doesn't even report it. They call it a good revolution.
That's not true. I think that this clip is really revealing. Because we've always known that Alex thinks that Islam is all one thing, so when an individual Muslim does something bad, he expects the conversation to be about how Islam is evil. And he's always disappointed that not enough people are having that conversation. That's what he's describing as my big frustration there. He never understands that people who are saying this wasn't Islam are only doing that in response to people like him saying, see, we told you all Muslims are evil. He doesn't understand his part in that cycle and that people wouldn't have to defend the entirety of Islam if propagandists and anti-Islam forces weren't trying to attack with that angle.
It's the Fox News opinion host says this, then the news says some people are saying this.
Totally.
And it. And then the opinion host says, see the news segment.
Mm-hmm. Now, that isn't too surprising. But what I find interesting here is that Alex seems to have the same difficulty with separating individual and group when it comes to white people. The difference, the difference is that he doesn't seem to be able to see a difference between criticism of white supremacy
and
criticism
white
of white
as
people.
A whole.
And that's troubling.
It is troubling, isn't it?
It's almost like he sees white supremacy as an assumed default position for white people that's just never expressed.
Yeah.
It almost does feel like that's a latent belief that he has that colors the way,
absolutely,
the way he relates to this stuff. Also, a recent study published in Justice Quarterly found that attacks carried out by Muslims, quote, receive on average 357% more media coverage than those committed by other groups. The study found, quote, out of 136 terror attacks in the United States over a span of 10 years, the authors studied those attacks. Muslims committed on average 12.5% of the attacks, yet received more than half of the news coverage. White terrorists, conversely, received disproportionately little media attention. Because of this disproportional coverage, many people are duped into thinking that there's a far greater threat to them posed by Islamic terrorism, when in reality this is far from the truth. People like Alex Jones serve to make that gap in perception versus reality even wider. And ideally, they want to make it so wide that it's impossible for that gap ever to be bridged, leaving you with no other answer than to take matters into your own hands. It's really hard to look at the reporting that Alex is doing today, and the circumstances that the world is in, and not think that he's trying to get people hurt. It really is super irresponsible the way he's behaving when the reality is so very clear about a lot of the things that he's talking about.
Absolutely.
It's,
well, and if you're
deeply, deeply fucked up.
Your move there, though, is what he's saying is I don't think it's okay to have a white supremacist terrorist attack. But what about other terrorist attacks? See, we're not doing anything about them, so we shouldn't do anything about the white supremacist terror attack.
Mm.
Or we should ignore the white supremacist terror attack and only focus on the ones in Egypt or whatever.
Right.
The whataboutism there is just to foster inaction towards the inciting of event. Don't deal with white supremacist terrorism.
Right.
Don't do it.
And don't even call it that.
Don't even call it that.
No.
The media is always going to call it, oh, white man. White man. White man.
It's a crazy guy.
Why aren't we thinking about drugs?
He's a crazy guy.
Why aren't we, what about this? What about this?
It's a crazy dude. Don't worry about it. It's Prozac.
Never deal
Prozac
with the
type drugs.
Never deal with the problem at hand.
No.
And if you think the problem is the problem at hand, it's actually a different problem.
Well.
And if that is the problem, guess what? I'm right about everything, and every further action is going to be that problem, and it's never going to be white supremacist terror.
Well, the problem is actually that ISIS attacks churches, as Alex has already said in that last clip.
Clear.
And he speaks about a little bit more in this next clip.
They go into the church on Easter, what was it, last year? And shot like 100 people. I think 30-something died. I mean, that's what goes on. It's just a footnote in the news. Oh, ISIS attacked 5 or 6 churches on Easter in the Philippines.
So, straight off the bat, if your argument about why people shouldn't be upset about a shooting in a mosque is that ISIS attacks churches, you are playing from behind. Your argument is terrible. And here's the big reason why. ISIS is a terrorist group, and they're treated like one. Our country is literally at war with them. So, if you want to justify a white nationalist shooting up a mosque by saying, what about ISIS attacking these churches, the only real way to avoid sounding like a fucking idiot is if you admit that white nationalists constitute a legitimate terrorism problem and accept that they should be treated as such. Otherwise, this is a fucking stupid conversation you're trying to have. Also, ISIS bombed a church in the Philippines in January of this year, killing 20 people, but that didn't happen on Easter. Last Easter, ISIS did attack a church in Pakistan, and 4 people were killed. These attacks are awful, but it's dishonest to say that they were just a blip in the news. Mainstream media outlets covered both of them. Interestingly, a search of InfoWars archives actually fails to turn up stories about either of those attacks, but a simple Google search brings up stories from the New York Times about both. So really, I'm not sure what point Alex is trying to illustrate here other than he's a fucking idiot and he's bad at his job.
I think he was trying to define irony for everybody in real time.
Hypocrite.
Yeah. The media never covers this. Did you cover it? Well.
Hold on.
Hey, whoa.
I totally cover that the Boolean search on InfoWars is faulty.
Ah, there you go.
Whatever. What the fuck ever. I'm certain that those attacks were, like, mentioned in some, like, larger article about something else.
Sure.
Like in paragraph 20 or whatever, but I'm not going to read every article on his site.
It's not a good faith argument, so why even bother with it? Mm-hmm. It's all bullshit anyways.
You bet. This is bad stuff.
Yep.
So, like we were just sort of talking about making fun of the idea of a little bit ago, The idea here is to not deal with the fact that this is white supremacist, white nationalist terrorism that has been a problem for a while, and it's rearing its head in a very shockingly awful way, again. And, you know, the goal for Alex is not to describe it as terrorism and that sort of thing, because if you do, then it does open up that idea that we should be treating this in the same way we treat other terrorist organizations,
right,
trying to disrupt their communications, trying to infiltrate, trying to figure out how they operate and figuring out ways to
neutralize.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kicking them off all media, social media platforms, all that stuff. You know, he doesn't want that conversation to start, so he calls them crazy. That's the easiest way to skirt that issue.
Yeah,
this was a crazy guy. And then he says that in this next clip, and then he goes down a road that I'm so fucking glad he did.
I'll say this guy was a crazy person. I'll say this guy wanted to be famous. I'll say this guy was a coward going in and fighting a group he thought would be disarmed in a disarmed country. But where are the Muslim groups decrying Islamic terror attacks on Christians and others?
Fuck you.
You could hear a pin drop.
You could hear a pin drop.
Bullshit!
Hey, Jordan, in the wake of that truck attack in Nice, France in 2016, prominent Egyptian Muslim cleric Shaki Alam released a statement saying, quote, people who commit such ugly crimes are corrupt of the earth and follow in the footsteps of Satan and are cursed in this life and the hereafter. After that attack, the Arab League chief Ahmed Abdul Gait denounced the attack strongly and called it an act of, quote, craven terrorism. The United Arab Emirates Foreign Minister Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan said, quote, this heinous terrorist crime makes it imperative for all to work decisively and without hesitation to counter terrorism in all its forms and manifestations. Now, how about that nightclub shooting at Pulse in Orlando? That was at a gay club. There's no way Muslims would speak out against that. They hate gays, according to Alex. Nahid Awad from the Council of American Islamic Relations said, quote, we condemn it in the strongest possible terms. It violates our principles as Americans and as Muslims. I have a word for ISIS and their supporters. You do not speak for us. You do not represent us. You are an aberration. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani said, quote, I unequivocally condemn the horrific attack on Orlando, Florida. Nothing can justify killing of civilians. Bangladeshi Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, who is one of the female Muslims in elected office that Alex pretends don't exist, said, quote, I condemn this dastardly act of terror in the strongest possible terms and reiterate my government's zero tolerance policy against any form of terrorism and violent extremism. London Mayor Sadiq Khan said, quote, this heinous and cowardly act on LGBT people in Orlando is an attack on our freedoms and values. We stand shoulder to shoulder with the people of Orlando. Hey, what about that Charlie Hebdo attack? There's no way Muslims would condemn that, right? They should all be for it because it was, about the drawing of Muhammad and all that. They should absolutely, no way Muslims condemn that attack. The Council on American Islamic Relations released a statement saying, quote, we strongly condemn this brutal and cowardly attack and reiterate our repudiation of any such assault on freedom of speech, even speech that mocks faiths and religious figures. The proper response to such attacks on the freedoms we hold dear is not to vilify any faith, but instead to marginalize extremists of all backgrounds who seek to stifle freedom and to create and widen societal divisions. The Arab League chief Nabil al-Arabi said, quote, he strongly condemned the terrorist attack on Charlie Hebdo's newspaper in Paris. I could literally do this all day, and part of me considered doing exactly that, just going through every major terrorist attack committed by a Muslim and listing off condemnation after condemnation from influential Muslims and Islamic organizations around the world. But ultimately, I realized there wasn't much a point to it. The perception exists that Muslims aren't speaking up about terrorism, and no amount of proof to the contrary is going to change the mind of someone whose mind has been closed off by propaganda. However, there are two important points that need to be brought up. The first is that it's a little insulting that so many people seem to insist on making Muslims apologize for and denounce things they had nothing to do with. That seems very abusive. Second, the more abusive aspect is that Muslims are speaking up about this stuff, but people like Alex aren't listening. Muslim leaders could denounce this violence all day long, but if the only place Alex gets any of his information from is the Drudge Report, good luck ever learning about the larger Muslim world.
I fucking wrote that down.
Yeah.
At the very top, whenever he said, where the Muslim voices, you're not listening to them.
Not at all.
And if you are, and if you hear them, what you're going to say is, oh, well, they're just saying that because they have to.
Something like that. Yeah.
There's no way to get through to your head that these people do exist.
And
so
care.
You're always going to, it doesn't matter. You're always going to say, where are the Muslim voices?
Exactly. Because you're not listening. It's an insane level of gaslighting to complain all day that you're being blamed for the actions of another white guy, and that's so not fair, while at the same time demanding all Muslims condemn the actions of another Muslim, and when they do, you pretend they didn't. I literally cannot imagine a less responsible way to carry oneself as a broadcaster, particularly on a day like this.
As a human!
Well, I mean, if you're just doing it in your day-to-day life, you're a piece of shit, but you don't have tons of people listening to you. That's the part of this that this is insane. He's reinforcing this idea. Like, a lot of his listeners probably are like, yeah, you know what? I haven't heard any Muslims speak out about this.
Because they're not listening either.
Exactly. They're getting their information from Alex, who's getting his information from the fucking Drudge Report.
Exactly.
It's not a healthy ecosystem. It's a place where wounds fester. Wounds and deceptions fester
yeah.
to a level that become untreatable. You get into like informational gangrene, basically.
Yeah, I was about to say this was sepsis.
Yeah, totally.
This is a wound somewhere along the line where you guys think something terrible happened to you, and that has just gotten infected. It is just a pus-covered wound. White supremacy is the pus-covered wound of America.
It's a decent metaphor.
It's disgusting.
So Alex has some more things to say in this next clip. And
all over Syria, all over Iraq, all over Egypt, all over Pakistan, anywhere that someone dares still have a little church or a Christian shrine from thousands of years ago, and a few Christians show up boldly enough in Pakistan or wherever to say, we love you, Jesus, there'll be a bomb there or they'll all get machine gunned. And there won't be one word said in condemnation by the establishment Islamic leaders. Because they have the House of Islam, and everything outside the House of Islam is war. And the Muslims that aren't radical will get killed if they ever speak out against radical Islam. That's how this works.
Okay, so there aren't any normal moderate Muslims.
Oh, there are, but they'll get killed if they act like it, Dan.
Hey, you know how I told you I was done playing that game where I just told you about Muslims who have condemned actions?
It sounds like you're not done with
it. I lied.
Game. Oh, yeah.
I am going to do this all day.
Okay.
Regarding the treatment of Christians in Iraq, in 2014, Iyad Amin Madani, the Secretary General for the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, released a statement saying that he denounced the, quote, forced deportation under the threat of execution of Christians in Iraq. He called it a, quote, crime that cannot be tolerated. Mehmet Gormez, the head of the Religious Affairs Directorate, the highest religious authority in Turkey, said, quote, the statement made against Christians is truly awful. Islamic scholars need to focus on this because an inability to peacefully sustain other faiths and cultures heralds the collapse of civilization. After the 2017 bombing of churches in Egypt by ISIS, Maha Al-Gondaidi, the executive director of the Islamic Networks Group, said, quote, as Christians around the world observed Palm Sunday earlier this month, powerful bomb blasts struck packed Coptic Christian churches in Egypt in an assault claimed by the Islamic State. The timing and brutality of the attacks were particularly shocking, as they violated both the sanctity of Christian houses of worship and a holy day as well. Islamic Networks Group and the San Francisco Interfaith Council joined Muslims, people of all faiths, and leaders across the world not only in swiftly and vigorously condemning these actions, but also to reaffirm the long relationships and the commonalities between Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Again, this list goes on and on and on, but people like Alex aren't listening. He's not listening because he doesn't want to listen. If he did, he would lose any pretense of righteousness that he uses to mask his indefensible bigotry. He is a scared, pathetic man. Also, if you want to get really sad about a website existing, go check out MuslimsCondemn.com, where you can find a running collection of things prominent Muslims have condemned. That website shouldn't have to exist.
It really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Here's things white people condemn. Do you know what's not on the list?
Hmm.
White terrorism.
Well, some do.
Or a list of things that white people as a whole don't have to fucking apologize for.
And now
it doesn't seem like we have Trump going on TV apologizing for, or not even, he's not even going on TV condemning the attacks.
He said it wasn't great, I think.
Yeah, great.
And then he called Mexicans invaders.
His the fucking
The fucking president of the United States' condemnation of white terror is not even close to the concept that the condemnations of Islamic terror from the people that you've put out
those
there.
Those are full-throated.
And that's, yeah, he can't even do that.
Nope.
He can't even do that.
And most of the condemnations of these attacks don't even do the thing that Alex is pretending the condemnations always do, like hiding behind like this isn't Islam or whatever.
Right.
Most of them are just like, nah, fuck this shit. No matter what,
this isn't
terrorism
part of,
has got to go. This sort of thing is not acceptable.
Right.
So look, I'm done now. I'm done with that game. Let's get on to this next clip where Alex,
I don't know if I trust you.
Alex is
comedy comes in threes.
Alex
man.
Is super.
You've got one more to go.
I don't know if I do. Alex, I'm done with that game.
Okay.
Alex is super defensive in this clip.
I can decry this guy. I think it's terrible what he did. But he's not a Christian. He's not a conservative. He calls himself an eco-fascist that thinks there's too many people. But you notice the media is fighting the controlled media to get his manifesto taken down. They say, oh, don't give him attention. No, they're giving him lots of attention. They want to project that he's a right-wing Christian. So you and I and all of us can be blamed.
Oh, that's why.
And that's the big takeaway they want you to have. Well, the takeaway here is they're covering up what radical Islam does, and you don't ever hear. It's very rare that you see any type of Muslim groups or individuals when there's a mass killing by someone screaming Allah Akbar. They say, that's not me. I'm not apologizing. I didn't do that. That's not Islam.
Whoops. I'm not done with that game.
Knew it!
If Alex is going to keep playing this game, I guess I will too. You remember the terror attack in Paris back in November 2015? The one that involved suicide bombers and hostages at the Bataclan Theater that eventually ended up in 130 deaths? The one at the Eagles of Death Metal concert? The Council on American Islamic Relations released a statement that said, quote, these savage and despicable attacks on civilians, whether they occur in Paris, Beirut, or any other city, are outrageous and without justification. We condemn these horrific crimes in the strongest terms possible. Joko Widodo, the president of Indonesia, said, quote, Indonesia condemns the violence that took place in Paris. Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib, the grand imam of Al-Azhar University, the thousand-year-old center for Sunni Muslim scholarship, said, quote, we condemn this odious attack. The time has come for the whole world to unite in order to face this monster. According to ABC News, here's how the Muslims of the world responded to the Paris attack. Quote, in Mumbai, India, Muslims gathered Monday to protest the violence, displaying signs that read, we hate ISIS terrorism and we stand with Paris. Protesters also trampled on an effigy of a member of ISIS. Even though people like Alex consistently refused to hear them, the Muslims of the world were trying really hard to be heard. From a story on MSNBC from right after that terrorist attack in Paris, quote, on Saturday, a coalition of eight leading national and local American Muslim groups held a press conference in Washington, D.C. to condemn the carnage. The Paris attack was on that Friday. The next day, Muslim groups held a press conference, and still Alex pretends there isn't any moderate voices in Islam. It's just pathetic. And now I probably actually am done with this game. Probably.
Mm.
I'm done with this game.
Okay. But I told you, comedy comes in threes.
Do you know, when you look into this sort of thing, you can find so many condemnations that are strong and meaningful and come from a real place. And while you look into that sort of thing, you can also find tons of articles from people in the Muslim communities who are like, I don't know why everybody keeps asking us to denounce things when we are and no one's listening.
Right.
So that's an extra painful level for a lot of people in these worlds, in these organizations that are about Islamic American relations and things like that. Like the idea that like we're doing exactly what you're claiming we aren't and it's not good enough for you. It's really painful. It's victim blaming to a gross extent.
The other thing is obvious. When you, on the date you find those strenuous and strident condemnations of those attacks, you can also find that same day an article written by one of these guys saying, where are the Islamic voices?
Right.
Same day. Simultaneous.
100%.
Simultaneous. They could write it 20 minutes after they read the statement and they'd still write it down.
It's exactly the same thing we saw in the episode of The Day of Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
You know, Alex is talking about how this is a danger to his guns being taken. And then at the same breath saying, why are these people politicizing this event in order to take guns or whatever? He's politicizing on the sort of defensive side. Whereas he thinks that everyone else is aggressing him with their politicizing. It's just a stupid game that gets everyone nowhere.
And it's the game that he knows he's playing.
Because he literally just outlined it. Yeah. He's saying the globalists want to put these labels, white, conservative, Christian. They want to put these labels on there so the larger community of white Christian conservatives has to accept blame for what happened.
I haven't heard anybody talking about him being a Christian or anything like that.
Right.
That's something that Alex is projecting.
So what he's obviously saying, though, is when he puts Islamic terrorist labels onto anybody, he's obviously saying that he wants the entire group to be labeled and accountable for the actions of one person.
Oh, totally.
So he's giving up the game.
He thinks that they're equivalent words. Terrorist
exactly.
and Muslim are
exactly.
just the same thing.
So he's even putting out the playbook that he uses as a way to fucking provide cover.
He's woefully transparent.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Yeah, and any other day, these sorts of things could probably, like, we could cover it, and it wouldn't be as infuriating and frustrating, but, you know, given the circumstances, it's just, I'm sick of his shit. Every now and again, it's gonna be an episode where I'm just like, I'm not playing around with you, you dumb asshole. I hate you, you suck, what you're doing is dangerous, let's stop the pretenses here.
Yeah.
And shockingly, most of those episodes are in the present day.
Yeah.
So he's been getting worse. But this is, I'm reticent to call it a new low, but it's bad.
It's a previously reached career low.
Yeah.
You know, look, he scored 45 points in a game before, but that's a career high. You know what I mean?
What's the literal opposite of a triple double?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Club 1000? Or no, you also have to have like 10 turnovers. Or
he's trying to play a full game with no stats.
Yeah.
And all turnovers.
Jesus.
Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex, descends into what I would describe as just like, I think this is really gross.
He somehow had full auto. We'll play some of the audio coming up next segment. We blurred out people actually getting killed. I've already watched this once. It's hard to watch it again. So viewer discretion advised.
You jerked off the first time, you fucker. Oh, God.
I don't understand why anybody would watch that video. I understand some people have, from a forensic perspective and stuff like that, researchers, things like that. I kind of understand it from that aspect. I'm not even close to willing.
Thinking about it gives me PTSD.
Yeah, I would never consider even to, like, make our analysis more robust.
No.
Or
no,
whatever.
No
I would
chance.
Never do that.
Uh-uh.
That's so horrifying. And the idea that Alex has a radio show and he's going to play audio of it, and on his video show he's going to play a blurred out vision of it, is abusive. That is something that is inappropriate. I really can't put that strongly enough. The kind of show that he does, playing something like that, is devastatingly inappropriate. And I would even say the same thing. Like, I don't know if they have. I certainly hope they haven't. But if, like, CNN or MSNBC played a blurred out
vision
of
it,
like, I would have fairly similar criticisms of them.
Also, just stop and think about why he's playing it. Because
to sensationalize, make people feel.
It's because he wants to. Like, there's no positive.
There's no news value
to
actually
playing. There's no value.
It.
He wants to watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, that really has to be it. This is some sort of torture porn for him.
Because it doesn't
help make any of his arguments.
Nope.
Just playing actual gun violence.
Yeah.
What are people, even his listeners, what are they going to hear and see that's going to make them think, oh yeah, this was a globalist. There's no reason. Especially if you're blurring it out, then it's just muzzle fire. That's all he wants to see.
Yeah.
He just wants to see his literal fantasy come true.
Or maybe.
Where he kills people.
Or maybe he on some level knows that that's something that'll appeal to his audience quite well. That's certainly a piece of it that could be a part.
This is fetish. This is a fetish.
I'm not sure I'm ready to go that far, but it's close. So in this next clip, we find Alex using a previous narrative that he's, built as a way to reinforce his anti-Islam mentality. And because we do the show that we do, we've already talked about this narrative, so you'll immediately be able to tell why this is bullshit.
In Greece, they charged a bunch of people for putting a cross back up on the island of Lesbos.
I remember this one.
Womanly love. And seriously, they did that. They've kind of named an island off Mexico, a similar name, the Island of Women, Isla Mujeres. But they put the sign back up, so they arrested them for hate because the Muslims can't even see a cross. See, we bring in an incompatible religion that doesn't
incompatible religion
live incompatibly with us, that historically always attacks us, and then we wonder when a screwball goes and does this. It's terrible.
He has a long
wait. Did he just justify it?
He has a long pause there because I think he realized I am sounding like I support what this guy did.
Yeah, didn't he just say that? Well, it's because of Islam that this guy killed Muslims.
You bet.
I'm pretty sure that what he just said was that the killer was justified because he didn't.
I'm nodding slowly.
He didn't
yes,
say he
that
didn't
is
say
what he's saying.
Like, people are going to say this. He said quite literally. Because Islam is not compatible with the West, quote, heavy scare quotes, maybe four or five scare quotes.
As evidenced by this Greek cross situation, which, as we've already discussed, was a issue where they, it was architecturally protected land.
Yeah.
That they built the cross on. It had nothing to do with hate or anything like that. It was a zoning issue. Alex is using that as evidence of how incompatible Muslims are. They can't even see a cross.
So because you leftists are letting these people into our countries,
what do you expect?
How do you not expect the white savior to come kill these people? I mean,
bingo.
I mean, hold on. I mean, this is bad, and it's not because he's white. It's because Muslims are evil. Oh boy, I'm really sounding like I like this guy.
That's why there was a long pause.
I think I might like this guy.
That's why there was a long pause, because I think he caught himself.
I think that's also why he wants to watch the video.
Probably.
Because he's like, see, this is what we should all be doing.
Now, this comes into a bigger conversation that I'm going to get to at the end of this episode. Alex is struggling with how closely what appears to have happened matches the worldview that he puts into the world. And I think that's an important thing. And it's clearly evidenced by the end of that last clip.
That's insane.
There's a recognition that on some level he realizes, I get it. I get why this guy did it. He should have.
Yep.
Or maybe he shouldn't have killed, but I get it. That sort of thing. And that is a dangerous fucked up line to walk.
If you get it, that kind of suggests you want to get, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
That suggests you are saying to him, you get it.
Mm-hmm. So Alex has talked a lot about the manifesto, but in this next clip, he discusses how he hasn't really read it.
Of course.
Him saying, okay, go subscribe to PewDiePie, or man, I love Candace Owens, but she's so radical and her calls for violence are so more serious than I am. It's all very sarcastic, very sick. I haven't read the whole manifesto, but he sounds like an Antifa lunatic.
So he hasn't read it, and he is acknowledging that on some level he understands that some of this is jokes and trolling and stuff like that. But then at the end he says he sounds like an Antifa lunatic. There's an entire page that's dedicated to Marxists, communists, and Antifa. He calls them anti-white scum, and he threatens to murder them. So I don't know how much this guy actually sounds like an Antifa lunatic or whatever, but it's just the way that Alex can characterize him to get some of the stink off him.
He's just going to – it doesn't matter. It's just like when we're talking about Muslims decrying ISIS. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the manifesto says.
Totally.
He's going to say what he wants it to say. It doesn't matter.
It's the same way that after Paddock shot up the Las Vegas concert, Alex was trying to say that he's Antifa and stuff like that. Whatever your enemy is, that is...
That's who did it.
That's who did it.
Yep.
And you have documents and everything's declassified and you have sources in the DHS and blah, 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 blah. No one gives a shit. So Alex goes to calls and he tries to take calls from specifically New Zealand and Australia. And... doesn't go great. He only gets a few callers from around there, and one of them that we're going to listen to later actually debunks his idea that you can't get guns in New Zealand.
Okay,
which is a big problem for Alex, and maybe shouldn't have actually taken calls from people who know anything.
It was a bad idea on his part.
But this first caller that he goes to brings up the idea that the shooter, a terrorist, was into climate change. And then brings
into climate change.
Well, not as a positive.
Like, I liked their earlier work.
No. He doesn't think that climate change had a sophomore slump with their second album.
I'm just going to say, Is This It was pretty good.
He is an eco, fascist, that's how he describes himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the eco is a part of it. And he does mention climate change in the manifesto. And so this caller has a dumb question.
Just an interesting fact I'd like to bring up is the fact that he described himself as an eco fascist. However, on the day of his attack, there was mass climate protests going on where you have all the students walking out, occurring here across America today, but it was yesterday for Australia and New Zealand. So I was kind of thinking, if you're so into climate change and preserving it, why would you hijack the news coverage of that?
That's a good question.
It's not.
No.
So this is a dumb point that the caller's bringing up because
I don't even really understand what he's.
He's saying that there was climate change protests going on. There were student walkouts and stuff like that happening on the same day. So if this guy cared about the ecosystem and climate change so much, why did he hijack the news coverage that would have been going to these protests?
So the guy's point is that he didn't really care that much about climate change?
Probably, but I mean, duh.
Right.
But the issue is that according to the range of information that this broadcast is supposed to have access to, the question that this caller is asking is already answered. Again, I don't know how much of this guy's manifesto to read is sincere, but Alex has already tried to use the manifesto as a source. So it's part of what's being covered. In the manifesto, the terrorist makes totally clear that his version of environmentalism was entirely about killing minorities who have too high a birth rates. He believes that climate change is a problem, but it's one that would automatically be solved if all the, quote, invaders, as he calls them, were killed, because they're the ones who are reproducing too much, which he seems to think is the totality of the problem.
I believe Alex has said that whites aren't reproducing.
I mean, that's the whole demographic cliff argument that he makes all the fucking time.
I think he's saying that they are also reproducing too much.
Yeah, yeah, and white people aren't reproducing enough.
Yep.
If the guy is being serious here in his manifesto, it's clear that he doesn't, he either doesn't actually care about the issues of climate change, or he doesn't really know anything about the actual science behind it and what the real concerns are. Most likely, this is probably a sarcastic answer in the manifesto on his part, or equally likely, a belief he's incorporated into his worldview as a way to make it look like his hatred of Muslims wasn't based on pure visceral fear and insecurity, but was actually rooted in some pretend moral concern for the planet.
Just like some people pretend racial science it. Right. And black people have lower IQs, so right. blah, blah, blah.
Either way, Alex and his caller have zero idea what they're even pretending to talk about here. This show is just an exercise in futility. It's nonsense. Complete nonsense.
Yeah.
So Alex finally gets the manifesto in his hands, and he's looking at the cover of it. And the cover has a design on it, says The Great Replacement, and then it has a bunch of little pictures of issues that are important to him. And Alex reads off all of them, and notice, the ones that are inconvenient for Alex to talk about, he pretends are a joke. The things that are convenient for him, he uses.
You read the cover of The Great Replacement, Towards a New Society. We march ever forwards. It overall is a communist cosmology, but it's anti-imperialism with a picture of George Washington. Workers' rights, protection of heritage and culture, that's to suck everybody in.
Uh-huh.
Ethnic autonomy, that's to get all the different groups involved. Uh-huh. Law and order, that's why you go in and shoot up a bunch of innocent people. Addiction-free community, responsible markets, that means controlled markets, and environmentalism, that's the global government.
See what he's doing there? This is nonsensical. This is the end result of him trying to force those conflicting ideas into people's minds simultaneously. All that matters is his analysis.
Yep.
He, having not looked at this before, looks at the cover of it and decodes it in a way that it means nothing. It's a meaningless exercise in symbology or something.
It's like he's got, it's like he's a child in the doctor's office in like a pediatric office, and you've got the 3-year-old there who's putting squares through the square hole and circles through the circle hole. And he's looking at that kid and he's just like, all right, so this is a square and that goes through the circle hole. Now, they tell you that it doesn't go through the circle hole, but that's because they don't believe in you. Now, this circle, this will actually fit through the square hole because it's the same size, but it doesn't have the edges. See?
They want to keep the square hole for themselves.
Exactly. They don't want that circle going in there, even though the circle can go in there. You see what they're doing?
Square hole is great.
Doesn't matter what the circle goes into. It's the square.
We're trying to protect the culture of the square hole.
And if you talk about that moon to me, I swear to God, that crescent moon.
Oh, boy. So up till this point, Alex is only sort of toe-dipped into the idea that this wasn't a real terrorist event.
Yeah.
And this next
he
book.
Only opened his show strongly insinuating that the globalists staged things on March 15th specifically. I'm not saying anything about this incident. I'm just saying that as a whole throughout the entirety of human history, every year the globalists stage a terror attack on March 15th. I'm just saying that they stage a terror attack on March 15th every year. I'm not saying this one.
All the time.
I'm not saying this one.
Like Charlie Manson, which in August.
See?
So,
globalists!
In this next clip, he kind of makes it a little more overt and actually suggests that this was not a real thing.
The whole way this has been carried out is incredibly synthetic, incredibly inauthentic. It looks like a perfect third-party, you know, shoot-em-up game. And I was making those points a few segments ago. Even the Daily Mail has journalists and reporters saying that this thing is a trap to set up reporters so they find every group and every organization they want to blame to get everybody fighting with each other, which is exactly what he says he wants to do. But the manifesto itself was a trap in itself laid for journalists searching for the meaning behind the horrific crime. The truth is there, invaluable clues, the shooter's radicalization. But it's buried beneath a great deal of, for lack of a better word, S posting.
Those last three sentences, you know what he's reading?
Somebody else's analysis of the... He's not reading Robert Evans' post, is he?
Oh, yeah.
He's for real reading Robert...
Robert Evans...
Holy shit!
His post on Bellingcat got reprinted in, like, The Atlantic. There was an excerpt of it in the Daily Mail. A lot of places pulled from his primary article. Alex Jones just read... and quoted Robert Evans on his show.
Evans is the first person to be on both our show and InfoWars. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Within a week.
Yep.
Robert Evans he's got the EGOT of propaganda podcasts.
I wish that there was some sort of an air horn we could fire off for that. That when I heard that, I was like, ha ha, yes.
That is unreal.
Yeah, so I sent Robert a message and told him about it. I don't think he was super thrilled.
I doubt it. I doubt he was stoked.
No. How could you be, though? No. Alex is misusing.
No, that's no good.
Whew. Yeah, so that charmed me. If
he's going to start reading the bios for his guests from your wiki.
Oh, that'd be great. if there's anything that brought like a little bit of a, whoo, that's fun, that was it. The rest of this, very not fun. But Alex accidentally quoting Robert Evans.
That's pretty fun.
Pretty nice. So in this next clip, we get to that caller who explains gun laws to Alex in New Zealand that runs completely opposite to what Alex believes.
The gun laws in New Zealand, I'm a gun owner, and it's a very strict vetting. I had to go through a two-hour interview to renew my gun license, and they interview all the family. They want to know what your mental health is, and so it's very strict. So they license the person, not the gun. But a person who has a license can buy a semi-automatic gun.
A person with a license can buy a semi-automatic gun. Alex's entire narrative that, first of all, there was that attack 20 years ago where they then got rid of all guns other than single shot, blah-blah-blue.
Not true.
Not true. I mean, not true historically. And then also the idea that they have even outlawed semi-automatics isn't true. Now, luckily...
Well, and that's one of the gun proposals that New Zealand is talking about right now, is that...
I mean,
the Attorney General
came out and said, we are going to change our gun laws.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing that he just described, they licensed the person, not the gun. They're like one of the things that the guy was like, holy shit, we're going to need to change the gun laws so that we license the gun, too.
Mm-hmm.
We need to register every weapon because that guy had two semis that weren't registered, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know enough of the details.
Yeah, I don't know enough either. I may have just...
Yeah, I mean, there's an entire possibility that everything he had was completely legally bought. Like, there's that possibility.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll know in time. We're recording this on Saturday, so if anything has come out on Sunday or Monday before this comes out, maybe we will look naive or unaware, and that's because, hey, guys, we're in the past.
We're naive and kind of unaware.
Yeah. So Alex has one of his guests that comes on from time to time, this woman named Syrian Girl. She comes on from time to time.
Wait, the woman named Syrian Girl?
That's her, that was her old YouTube handle. Now her name is like Partisan Girl, I think is her name now.
Okay.
She's a woman who grew up in Australia, but is from Syria. And from everything I understand, she's kind of a Bashar al-Assad apologist. Like, a lot of the narratives about how the chemical weapons attacks were false flags and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of it traces back to her and some of her reporting on InfoWars, quite frankly.
Great.
She is kind of a voice of reason in her appearance.
Okay.
We're not going to listen to too much of it because Alex just doesn't care.
I don't want to praise
Bashar
al-Assad apologist.
He doesn't come up. But she's just saying, like, hey, a lot of this stuff in the manifesto doesn't look real.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it seems like fucking around, and you should be careful about it.
Right.
And Alex just... goes right past her. There's almost no content in their interview other than that sort of inability of Alex to even accept the idea that some of it might not be just A means A,
yeah,
kind of little literal concrete thinking. So whatever.
Yeah, it is difficult because the manifesto is written in what amounts to an entirely different language.
It's a rebus.
It's that people, that because we can understand the words, we think the words mean things.
Mm-hmm.
And they've redefined words so they don't mean anything.
Yeah. So her interview is not interesting and I don't want to put you through it and it doesn't matter. Especially because Alex, right after that, gets another guest who comes in who is terrible. He's a guy named Matt Bracken. He's shown up a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a website called enemiesforeignanddomestic.com.
All right, well, I'm not a fan of his already.
He has some history in the services, but then also has written a bunch of shitty books.
Of course.
He foresees a race war.
Naturally.
That's sort of
naturally.
A big part of his worldview about what's coming. We've talked about him in the past, and I think we've actually gotten fairly into some of his shit. Suffice it to say, he's a crazy dude who loves guns and is, I would say, to a degree more extreme than Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he brings to the proceedings. He's got a source.
Oh, God, no. He does
and,
not.
He says the guy sounds like a Serbian to him. The Cyrillic writing on the weapons, even using old church Cyrillic, this is extremely...
You know, I noticed that. It's old
stuff.
And then he could actually... Who knows? Well, let's come back. Could he be a crypto-Islamicist? And this is a false flag.
Wow.
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 Good stuff.
Wow.
So Bracken is...
Please tell me that he's an actual Islamicist. Please, that's what I want to hear.
Please...
Give me that.
Please, you say that so I can pretend I didn't say it after we run with it.
Exactly.
So Matt Bracken is claiming that he has a CIA buddy who has told him this. That's the source that he's claiming it's coming from. And that's bullshit. Most of what he ends up defending his argument with when they come back from break is that there is a passage in the manifesto where the terrorist, he's doing a hypothetical Q&A session with himself, and he asks the question about why he cares about European heritage if he's Australian. And the answer that he provides never specifically says that he is Australian. He just points out that Australia is an offshoot of Europe, like the penal colony and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Based on this, Bracken theorizes that he might be Serbian. The problem is that in another point in the manifesto, the terrorist spells things out more clearly. Quote, I was born in Australia to a working class, lower income family. My parents are of Scottish, Irish, and English stock. This is shitty work on Bracken's part. It's self-contradictory. His speculation or whatever he's reading into the manifesto is contradicted by something that is literally in it. He's doing a really bad job. And if this, like, I don't know, just the fact that there's Serbian writing on the gun doesn't mean anything.
No, he's doing a great job. Lying and colluding and fucking...
The fact that, a lot of people in the right wing, these terrorist communities, are inspired or take inspiration from the crisis in Serbia,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that he's Serbian. Anders Breivik was very inspired by the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this isn't... None of this is irresponsible, like what Matt Bracken's bringing to the table.
It's not irresponsible, it's on purpose.
Of course it's on purpose.
It's being very responsible about being a fucking monster.
Right, but which is irresponsible. And then it allows for Alex to be further irresponsible because he's suggesting that maybe he's a crypto-Islamicist.
Maybe he's a crypto-Islamicist. You know, that different kind of Islamist.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off.
So here's Matt Bracken one-upping himself with stupidity.
To be effective in an info war, you use the ammunition that's on the table. And the ammunition on the table is to call this the Facebook massacre. Pin this right on Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg, he's the guy that made the tool that instigated this, that promoted it. If not for Facebook live streaming, he might have done something else or nothing at all.
Maybe. Holy shit, he just made a great gun control argument. He just made a great gun control argument. Well, that was awesome.
Part of the reason Bracken is stupid.
This is the Remington murder. There we go. Done.
Ooh.
We can sue them now.
Maybe if he didn't have that gun, he would have taken up crochet.
Oh, if he didn't have Facebook live stream, we never would have had this. Okay, so if he didn't have that semi-automatic rifle, we never would have gotten this. So fuck off. You're an idiot. Done.
Totally.
Done.
Totally.
Done.
If you're
sign your own fucking death warrant.
If you're willing to allow that tenuous of a connection to be what you're saying caused this, you're out.
A strong connection is better.
You have completely ruined whatever foot you're trying to stand on.
Yeah.
And to some extent, I don't think it's because Alex recognizes that argument could be twisted that way.
They never do.
He's very against what Bracken is saying.
Uh-huh.
He's very much against that.
Okay.
I don't understand why. I mean, he hates Facebook and stuff like that, but he is taking a line that's like, if you do that sort of thing, it's not Facebook's fault that this person live streamed this. Like, if you take that and then you, like, Facebook, what do? They make it so no one can live stream. And then people can't get their messages out. And they're like,
yeah.
It's like, all right, Alex, I see what you're doing, but that's only because you're being confronted
by
the completely crazy Matt Bracken.
No, I think it's because he's being confronted by the fact that he was kicked off Facebook and isn't allowed to do Facebook Live anymore.
He knows the pain.
He's literally like, hey, no, if you shut down Facebook Live, it's almost like if you shut down my Facebook page.
If you shut down Facebook Live, there's no chance I'll be able to eventually get that market back.
Exactly.
But for now, I can still dream. So you might be asking yourself, what's going on with Roger Stone?
I wasn't, but nope. Okay.
In the middle of this episode, Alex gives us an update on Roger.
He's still dead?
Just a footnote, too, about Roger Stone. I like Roger. He's a nice person.
Not an update.
I've not been involved in all his politics and all of his machinations and the political stuff he does. I wanted to hire Roger as a political pundit to talk about politics and news here on air. And he did a pretty good job until the last few months, and he was just consumed, obviously, with what was happening to him. And then when he got the gag order, he won't even talk to me. And so Roger no longer works here, and he understands that. We've had an amicable parting. That happened a few weeks ago.
Roger's gone.
Roger's gone.
Officially, Roger's gone. Paul's gone.
Unlike Paul's still doing stuff. Coupon Cabin, there was an amicable parting.
Yeah. Paul is still doing stuff. Like, he's still writing articles and things like that. But to be fair, his operation isn't launching yet. So
yeah,
that could just be this interim period. And especially while Alex is so preoccupied with these lawsuits and shit like that, he starts complaining about how Jerome Corsi's suing him a little bit later.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It's like, well, you had to see that coming.
You're going to complain about that. I'm fine with that. That makes sense. That tracks.
Right. So we got Matt Bracken on, and that's fucked up because that guy's a nut. And him in his analysis of this attack is useless. It's useless. And I thought that was as bad as it could get.
How could it possibly get worse?
Well, Alex wants to make this a three-way dance.
Oh, no.
So he brings in another guest.
Matt, I want to bring up Stuart Rhodes and get his approximation as a veteran. And,
what?
A man that's practiced constitutional law and somebody who's been warning about false flags. I just think the fact that he traveled all over the world, the fact that he's saying he wants to cause a civil war, that's what Charlie Manson wanted in Helter Skelter. Trying to frame black people for killing Sharon Tate, but he got caught. Stuart Rhodes, what's your first approximation on this?
Well, I watched the video. I found the video online and watched the entire thing. I think this guy was a true believer, white nationalist, apparently. But yeah, he wanted to spark a race war. That's what he wanted. So, but expect this, whether he was, some kind of a MK Ultra manipulated person or not, the outcome is going to be the same. This is going to be used to attempt to disarm us even further, disarm the West, and also to censor us and crush free speech.
So, I mean, on one level, I got to tip my hat to him actually being like, this guy is a legit white nationalist. Because you don't expect to hear that.
Well,
you don't expect to hear that from someone like Stuart Rhodes,
who is a legit white nationalist.
Yeah, well,
I think that's why it does not surprise me that he later used the term us. When he said, because he didn't then change the pronoun.
I think he was referring to
like
him and Alex.
Him and Alex.
I think that's what he meant.
The way the sentence is constructed,
right.
He's kind of saying that this guy is a true believer white supremacist. And regardless of whether or not he was mind controlled, it's going to be used to demonize us.
Yeah.
White supremacists.
I mean, that is
parentheses. White supremacists. Of us.
I mean, that is one reading of it, and I'll allow you to have that reading. I give it the biggest grace period possible, or whatever, the biggest benefit of the doubt, and assume he was talking about Alex and him, if only because that doesn't make it much better.
But even then, that's still white supremacist.
Yeah, but that is all he seems to care about, is this idea of like it's going to lead to our guns being gone and lead to us being censored, and like
I really don't see a lot of condemnation from the white nationalist societies here. Like, did the KKK release a statement condemning white supremacist violence?
I don't believe so.
Did the Oath Keepers release a statement
condemning white nationalist terrorism?
I mean, maybe some people have.
Did the NRA even release a statement?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
I don't care. That's not the point.
I understand. But for us to say that they didn't would be committing the same fallacy as Alex saying that Muslims didn't. Just because we didn't hear their condemnation of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Oh, no. I mean him specifically. I was just pointing that out.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really.
I was talking about him, not like...
Alex has condemned it in that, like, sort of evasive way with the, like, he's crazy.
Well, he also said, of course, this was going to happen because of Muslims. So he didn't really...
Well, that brings us to our next clip.
I think he's... Even in his condemnation of white nationalist terrorism, it's really a condemnation of Islamic terrorism.
Right. Well...
Or not even that. It's an insinuation that all things are because of Islamic terrorism.
Right. And, you know, like you were saying in that clip earlier, he sort of caught himself sort of agreeing with what motivated this terrorist act. And Stuart Rhodes falls into the same trap that no one set for him in this next clip.
So when the Muslims go crazy and kill us, it's never, you know, don't blame Islam. But when a guy who's worried about or concerned about mass immigration of Muslims into Europe goes crazy and kills people, then they're going to blame all the rest of us for the same concern.
Can you hear that?
That's going to be used. This is why we have to just fight back and say, you know what? That doesn't erase the fact that this is a problem. This is what drove this guy over the edge. I'm not making excuses for him. But what I'm saying
is it's a
real serious problem, and he saw it. And because he saw it, I don't agree with what he did, but he saw something that's very real.
We
can't back away from that.
We can't back away from that.
Hold on. I don't agree with the way this guy did it, but he was right.
Yeah, he saw a very real problem, and we can't back away from that.
Yeah,
I mean that's as close to a non-condemnation, the opposite of condemnation.
No,
as you're going to find, like no one like Stuart Rhodes or Alex Jones is going to be like, "Hooray, this guy did it." But that's the equivalent.
That's really close to hooray.
That's the equivalent in polite society.
Yeah,
you can't endorse this without like running a very serious risk of like, well. What you do is you are encouraging terrorism. You have crossed the line of what is appropriate.
That's
but you can still hide doing stuff like this.
Right, but
this
that's
is
like
an endorsement.
He had a meeting with the HR of white supremacists, and they were like, hold on, you need to give a speech to all the white supremacists, and you have to say, listen, we all agree with this guy, but we don't like what he did. We think what he should have done is just been really, really racist and made sure that all of our policies were racist as fuck. What are you fucking doing?
Ideas, fears, concerns, all totally cool and good.
Yep.
Method bad.
Bad. No, absolutely.
That argument doesn't work. Nope. It absolutely doesn't work. Because the fears, the method, are all interconnected. It's absolutely connected. I'm going to lay out my thoughts about this at the end of the episode, but you cannot believe the things that this guy believed and that Alex Jones believes and not see where it leads.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that. It is impossible to escape the natural end result of this rhetoric. And we'll get to that.
The only way to read what he said is he was talking to the victims at the mosque and said, well, what did you think this was going to happen? You moved here.
Right.
You built that mosque there. What did you think was going to happen?
Right. Exactly.
That's what he said.
What was your mosque wearing?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Exactly.
So Alex realizes maybe shit's getting a little too hot. And so he's got to tell a very not true story. This is up there with the Nazi hat on Halloween.
Okay.
This is up there with the globalists in a hot tub.
Uh-huh.
It is up there in the pantheon of...
Are we ever going to write that movie, Globalists in a Hot Tub?
No. Globalists in a Hot Tub Time Machine, yes.
Mm.
This is up there in the pantheon of not true Alex stories that he tells that are crazy.
Oh, I was at a hotel in Isla Mujeres off the coast of Mexico, and they were having a gay wedding in it. And I was watching in the interactions for the 2 days that I was at this one hotel. I was watching all these gay guys trying to kiss the ass of a bunch of Muslims wearing, you know, hijabs and everything. There's just Muslims everywhere now.
So it's Muslim women? They're wearing hijabs.
Uh-huh.
And the Muslims would just disgustingly go, ugh, and like, don't talk to me. And the men and the women were like, ugh. And the gay guys would just kiss their ass more. Don't you get, they throw you off buildings, you dumb bastard. But they hate, leftists hate America so much, they think, ooh, Muslims, you're my friend. Stuart Rhodes, will talk to you soon. God bless. Please join us this weekend. We're going to have some special reports there.
What a great way to end an interview with Stuart Rhodes. Telling a long, not true story about watching a gay wedding in Mexico and seeing Muslims be bad.
So the wrong response to Muslims is saying, be my friend.
I guess that, I mean, this story didn't happen, but.
It didn't happen, but no. That is kind of the lesson
what's
there,
behind,
right?
Yeah, what's behind it is don't try.
Yeah, don't Muslims be nice to Muslims. You. They hate you.
They all hate you.
You should never talk to them.
Muslims at a resort in Mexico.
They hate you.
They might as well be at a pool supply shop in Austin.
That's where they hate me the most. Hate you. They hate you.
They
never
hate
talk
you.
To them.
No matter what, they hate
Treat
you.
Treat them as your enemy.
They are all
Do you
that.
Know what you do to your enemy, Dan?
Well. I mean, depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
If you're Alex.
If you're asking Alex, though.
You commit an info war against them that leads to people on the ground taking your rhetoric seriously and killing people.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Even in his fucking shitty story, he's justifying murdering Muslims.
Yeah, to some extent. Or not caring if they do get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. That's because they hate you.
Yep. In some ways, this is a you deserve what you get.
This entire show so far has been him trying to say.
No, but this whole show has been him in reinforcing the things that are behind what is terrorizing Muslims around the world.
Yep.
Like, no matter what, you take even the event, the terrorist attack, out of it. If you just looked at this show and the rhetoric that he's putting forth, it is what leads people to attack Muslims.
Yep.
There is no way around that.
Nothing.
So we've already heard Alex kind of accidentally start talking about how he agrees with what the terrorist did.
Yeah.
We've already heard Stuart Rhodes there do exactly the same thing. And now it's Matt Bracken's turn to basically agree with the terrorist.
I've been reading the manifesto, and, you know, there's a lot of what the shooter says that is on point. And some of it is about the decadence of the West, you know, the things that we've been discussing, you know, the 11-year-old drag queen, and this is a society that's in its failing stage.
You're on his side, asshole.
He just...
All three of you motherfuckers are justifying. All you're doing is equivocating and making okay what was done to these 49 people and countless others who survived, and the victims' family members and their loved ones, the entire community that is traumatized because of this. That is all they're doing. They're getting on air and equivocating, blaming their perceived enemies, and then at the same time, in the same breath, saying, like, I mean, he makes a lot of great points. This isn't someone at a cocktail party years later telling you about how the Unabomber had good points.
Yeah.
This is the day after. This is the day after, while the situation is still broiling, while the situation is still an intense crisis. It's a life or death situation for tons of people.
He said in parentheses, I mean, who hasn't thought about doing this before? If you look, I read his manifesto. He's made a lot of great points. I'm just saying, I've thought about doing what he did. If he makes a lot of great points.
I mean, it's hard not to hear some of that in here. So in this next clip, Alex makes a fucking bold pronouncement that thankfully he can't follow through with.
We'll be right back with Matt Bracken's final statement and your phone calls. Then I'll read the entire manifesto on air thanks to the great work of one of our producers, Scott. Stay with us.
Scott.
He's going to read the entire manifesto on air?
Of course not. It's 70 fucking pages
long. Oh, my God. Pages. Oh, my God. I almost had a fucking heart attack.
No.
There's
no
Christ.
Way. Alex can't read more than a paragraph.
Oh.
No.
Oh, my God.
But I do love
I would
that.
Like to think that he tried.
I love
Did he try?
No. He just read the, like, selected little blurbs that his intern pulled
gotcha.
Out. But, like, I do love the hubris of that. Just that idea of, like, I'm going to read this whole fucking thing. Come at me, bro.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. No, you're not.
Especially,
I hear that and I laugh at him. You are Icarus flying too close to the sun with your bold pronouncements of reading. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I would love to get into the subject material, but first we just got to deal with you not being able to read an entire page.
No.
You can't do it.
You're hooked on whiskey, not phonics, bro.
It's literally impossible for him to read an entire page from start to finish.
Yeah. So he doesn't get into this. Instead, he starts talking about how these mass shooters aren't brave enough.
I just wonder why these mass shooters, curse them to hell, whether they're Islamic or leftist or right wing or whatever, would just stop targeting mosques and churches and unarmed innocent people. You're a real man.
I'm not saying do this, but go find some soldiers. Go find some warriors. That's what warriors are supposed to do, is they go find the other group's warriors. That's why I'm a giant critic of Islam, because it loves to attack women and children.
I hate... Before we get into any of... Not good. But before we get into any of that stuff, I need to point out how fucking awful it is for him to be saying that stuff over Policy of Truth.
I know.
By Depeche Mode.
I know.
Because you know what the lyrics were that he was talking over?
Yes.
Never again is what you swore the time before.
Yep.
Like, that sort of thing is under... Like, that awesome song is, like, underneath his horribly disgusting, like, desire for actual war, I guess? And then this condemnation that Muslims attack women and children. Jordan, here's a short list of white terrorists in the United States who have targeted women and children, which is not surprising at all because they're terrorists. Timothy McVeigh intentionally chose a federal building with a daycare center in it because he believed he was getting revenge for Ruby Ridge, where Randy Weaver's son was killed by the police. He wasn't a Muslim. Dylan Roof killed 6 women in his church shooting, 2 of them who were older than 70 years old. He wasn't a Muslim. Robert Gregory Bowers, the terrorist who killed 11 people at the Tree of Life Synagogue, killed 3 women, none younger than 75. One of them was 97 years old. He wasn't a Muslim. Devin Patrick Kelly, the terrorist behind the Sutherland Springs mass shooting back in 2017, killed 10 women and 8 children and 1 unborn child. He wasn't a Muslim. Elliot Roger of the 2014 Isla Vista shooting spree targeted women he felt rejected him and dudes he felt didn't deserve the women who had chosen them over him. He killed 2 women, but definitely he was trying to kill way more. He wasn't a Muslim. This list could go on and on, just like my Muslim condemnations of terrorism, but I think you get the point. Alex is making definitions of Islam by a definition of terrorism and refusing to accept that it is not a one-to-one parallel. He is demonizing an entire community by making statements like this. This is the dangerous rhetoric that exists in the world that is unfounded, not based on anything, and only leads to othering and putting people's lives at risk.
Let's not even bother with that. Let's just talk about him.
Oh.
How many times does he target
Good
women
point.
And children?
Good point.
Specifically. The government that he loves so much, run by Trump. How many times does that target women and children specifically? Hold on. Do you think Christianity is anti-abortion? Do you think they're anti-abortion because they care so much about women
and
children?
Love them.
Do you think they're so against Planned Parenthood because they really want women and children to have fucking great lives, Dan? Let's talk about him. I don't even give a shit about terrorists.
Right.
Let's not even start talking about people who kill people. And let's just start talking about how Christianity really loves women and children, Dan.
Alex supports
the
camps for immigrants and refugees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Children locked up.
Let's put women and children in fucking concentration camps, Dan.
Right.
I think that's a great fucking idea because Christians love women and fucking children so much.
And Alex makes a target out of that child.
Absolutely.
Desmond is awesome.
Oh, he makes a target out of David Hogg. Oh,
right.
He makes a target out of
the other
survivor.
Kids.
He makes a target out of the Sandy Hook fucking survivors.
And now he is working his way up to making a target of, the entire community of Christ Church to some extent in New Zealand. I don't think if you were a Muslim and you were to listen to this sort of thing, I don't know how you would feel safe. Like, with this sort of rhetoric being put forth by someone who has a large audience, and knowing that whatever's being said on this radio show pales in comparison to what's being said off air.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And in secretive places of the internet.
100%.
I don't understand how you could not feel completely threatened by this. If you were, like, I don't know, a 12-year-old Muslim who just wants to live their life and all that stuff. I don't know how you couldn't feel like you were a target.
What's bullshit and is obvious and inevitable is that with these things, it used to be you would have to go to 4chan to find people essentially praising this guy for doing what he did the day after.
Now you just go Fox News.
Exactly. It used to take a while. The GOP and Fox News and Alex Jones all used to have to grandstand for a good week or two about how, yes, we do decry this. And then a week later, they could go back to bashing Muslims because everybody kind of forgot. Now they do it the next day.
Yeah.
Now they don't even wait until the end of the event to say that it's Muslims' fault.
Yeah. I mean, society has taken a really gross shortcut in many ways.
Yeah.
It doesn't
change anything because they still believed it then too. They still said it the same day then.
Yeah, to some extent.
They just didn't say it on TV and now they say it publicly.
They've realized they can.
They have no fear. Yeah.
There's no consequence.
There's no consequence.
And this is what I keep coming back to is there needs to be a consequence. There needs to be some sort of holding people accountable for what they put into the world that leads to this.
Right.
So, in this next clip, Alex gets into more demonizing of Islam. Would you believe that?
I really can't.
He has more to say.
It is a testament to how awful this man is that I am not more surprised.
This is gross.
Let's explain why Napoleon and Carlos the Jackal and so many others converted to Islam. Because for a thug male, it's the best system.
Sure, you right off the bat, you get to oppress women.
What are you talking about?
You marry who you buy. The girl has nothing to say about who she marries. And if she gets out of line or doesn't do what you like her to do, you can hit her.
I got bad news about America 30 years ago.
He is way, way wrong. If you're a thug male, the best thing to be is white. Are you shitting me? If you are a thug male, get rid of all of this idea of Islam. Go straight to Christianity in America and you will get away with fucking everything.
Yeah, it's kind of a messy.
You can fucking lobby for people who have killed millions and get 47 months and a judge tell you, oh my God!
You can,
be a thug male white!
You can lobby and be associated with Jeffrey Epstein literally and still not have any consequences. You can literally be Jeffrey Epstein and have very limited consequences for your horrific actions. So, I mean, this is all just bullshit.
This is fucking insane.
Right, but it's
I hate him.
It's the game they want to play. It's this demonizing
Muslims. It's the game they want to fucking play.
So, in this next clip, Alex pretty much says that this attack in Christchurch was a false flag, and then you're going to love what happens right after that.
I've been saying the perfect thing with this Islamic invasion going on would be attacks on mosques, and I've said they're coming probably 1,000 times last year. And that it would probably be staged, whether it was some fellow traveler with the globalist or a leftist doing a false flag to blame us. A false flag just simply means that it's not who you're told did it didn't really do it. Or you're
yes,
told it's a right-wing Christian, but he's really a leftist.
Sure.
And I'm just saying who gains from this, the larger global plan for societal collapse and crisis. Please don't forget. I keep forgetting. Store-wide free shipping. Biggest sale of the year is now here. Store-wide free
God.
Shipping.
Nice. Nice. Been a while since we've had a real good ad pivot.
Wow.
Real nice ad
pivot. That one's brutal.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That was bad.
I mean, he's just suggesting that this was a false flag without any evidence. We got free shipping.
Do you know what? It's... It's somehow almost, it's almost comforting for him to call it a false flag as opposed to blaming Muslims themselves for making it happen.
I mean,
do you know what I'm saying?
It's still in there.
And
though.
He's still blaming Muslims for making us need to have a false flag, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is that what he's doing?
I'm not entirely sure how those ideas coexist in
No matter head. What is going on, he thinks this is entirely Islam's fault.
Yes, yeah. No matter if it's real or fake,
doesn't matter.
Brought it upon themselves by existing.
Or they did it to themselves, which they should never have done because they existed. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this is the first time in our 2 years of listening to him that his ideas aren't internally consistent.
That's fair.
So
that's unusual.
We should definitely spend a ton of time.
All right. Calm it down.
So
what? We're going to stop doing that now?
Whatever the case is in terms of like if he's blaming Islam or if he's false flagging or
and
whatever.
And blaming Islam for
right.
that.
Right. Whatever the case may be, you know that there's one thing that's behind it. And that is that Alex is really the victim of this attack. You know that.
I know.
You know that.
I know.
So in this next clip, Alex...
I know, and I don't want to know anymore, Dan. I don't want to know anymore.
Alex and his caller, who calls in, commiserate about how they, as white people, are the real victims of the Christchurch mosque terrorist
attack. I swear to God, if you don't Men in Black me at the end of this podcast, like if we make this another 2 years and you don't use the fucking neuralizer on me, I'm going to be pissed at you.
I'm going to flash my vape pen at you.
Works for me. Whatever removes the memories of these traumatic events.
I'm going to El Kabong you with this Manhattan special.
I wouldn't
and we'll
mind
see if
that.
It works.
I bet that would crush my head. Those are well-made bottles.
So yeah, this clip isn't good, but it is what it is.
That guy down in New Zealand, he's a national socialist. He is not a capitalist American. You know what? They're coming for us. That's an attack on us, America, directly.
I'm glad you're upset because I'm sick of collectivists and eco-fascists and they want to organize and run everything. They're not America. They're not 1776. I can take a Christian guy from Egypt who's super smart and great and has brown skin and he'll have a great business, a great family, and he'll be totally law-abiding. You make him a Muslim, he'll act like a damn animal half the time. You take a white person and act like that. It's the culture and it's the spirit. And we have to have the spirit of Americana defeat their spirit. And I totally agree with you.
Gross. Gross. I mean, that's next level bad in terms of, anything. That's just.
If you take.
He's not talking
an
about radical.
Man
he's not talking about radical extremist terrorism.
Who's Christian.
Islam. He's
he'll have a great business. But if you take an Egyptian man and turn him Muslim. Mm-hmm. Well, then he's going to start acting like an animal.
Most of the time, yes.
Dan? Mm-hmm.
This is dehumanizing.
I miss dog whistles.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I miss them.
I mean, this is like next level overt, like in terms of what he's putting into the world. Like there's no excuse for something like this. This is, if you're putting stuff out like this into the world, you are doing, the equivalent of like a Nazi broadcast in the lead up to World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're doing is you're saying that all Muslims share a quality that is an inhumanity.
Yep.
And that is never acceptable.
They're animals.
And that is not okay in any circumstances, particularly after, slaughter of people because they were Muslim, happening in the world.
Yeah. This is insane.
Yeah.
This is really insane. Like,
Alex and this caller, they're
the real victims.
We're
not even offering thoughts and fucking prayers. We're not even there. We went from a massacre happening to out and out defending why a massacre should happen.
Yep. And, ascribing blame to the victims and, insinuating that because of their culture and who they aren't capable of rising to the level of being seen as humans.
This is just fucking
it's bad.
Obvious.
So now,
it's obvious.
Now let's take a little breather.
I just don't know whether it was better 10 years ago when people said this without saying it.
Yes.
Do you think so? Because this is not
I think the statistics on hate crimes show that yes, it was better.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's a very good point.
I mean,
that's
if you're
very
just
good
looking
point.
It from a utilitarian perspective,
that's
yes,
fair.
It's absolutely better. If you're looking at how you'd love the world to be, no, it's not better. If people secretly believe these things in their heart, but aren't allowed to say them freely in public, that's not that much better. You would wish that everybody understood each other and cared about each other on a human level. Obviously, that's the ideal you'd like to get to.
Right.
Since we're in the real world, I think that you'd rather keep people from being the victims of crimes like this.
Right.
And terrorist acts that destroy entire communities.
Right. I suppose the only thing is what stage of dealing with cancer are we at?
Right.
Because
it's extreme.
10 years ago, we were at stage one where we just knew there was cancer everywhere.
Right.
And now we're at stage four where cancer is fucking exploding all over our goddamn faces.
But unfortunately, 10 years ago, we had, oncologists who were telling us, things with like the Mayak report.
Yep.
That were warning us that you had the early signs of cancer.
Yep.
And then there were cancer propagandists who were saying that oncologists don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They're just trying to demonize these wonderful cells that grow really fast.
Yeah.
Don't judge them because they grow really fast.
Look, they're the same genetic material. They're still good cells.
Yeah.
They're still good cells.
Maybe
why are you
better.
Saying? But hey, yeah, they're bigger. They grow faster and you can't kill them. That sounds
That's
good.
That's free market.
That sounds great. Who really, yeah, if you didn't want the cancer, then you wouldn't let the cancer take your cells.
See, that's obvious. It's your fault.
On some level, this metaphor does hold, because mm-hmm. there were warning signs in the pre-metastasizing phase of yep. this, and the people who were in favor of the metastasization were the ones who got those signs ignored and retracted and stuff like that.
Yep.
And now we have come to the point that we're at now. And what's interesting about that is that even if you look back at Alex in 2009, his goal wasn't hating Islam. Like, what he's become now isn't what he was then. All of this stuff is that world changed.
Yeah.
The militia patriot community changed.
Yeah.
In some way that transitioned. I'm not entirely sure when, but it changed into this character being predominantly, anti-Islam. And it's troubling, because all of the other stuff that he did before informs this.
Right.
And all of the resistance to, the DHS and the FBI taking, white terrorism seriously has aided in the anti-Muslim, worldview that he perpetuates now. So it's really weird that what he did, previous to even believing these things, is a part of, what the present reality.
And it's also what traps them in this current ideology, is because if they were to accept a change now, they would have to accept that they were wrong not to change that.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, there might be a piece of that. So let's take a break from all this heavy stuff, because Alex does at this point
right.
in the show. And he starts getting really, if you ever need a full sort of glimpse at his narcissism and how it works, this next clip is Exhibit A.
You know, if folks knew what was going on behind the scenes around here, if I was at liberty to tell you,
you're getting sued a lot.
You'd be pretty positive, actually. There's a lot of bad things happening too, but the power structure has figured out that globalism, as it was set up, is not going to work. The people are against it, because the people that run the upper echelons were still compartmentalized. They now know what the end game was, and it's not going to hunt.
Avengers
the dog game. Is not going to hunt. So now there is a mad scramble to figure out what the establishment's going to do. And that's the point that we have reached here. And I'll just leave it at that. Because I've got a lot of people not trying to charm me to the table with them, but a lot of people from different levels of government and corporations and the military literally saying, well, what do you think the alternative is? Well, just how about we don't model everything off after communist China? Let's start there.
Do you understand what he's saying? Because I'll spell it out for you. He's saying that back in the day, he had globalists that would come up to him and try and charm him to the table to be like, hey, man, you're really cool. You should be on our team. Now, things have gone so bad for the globalists that he has globalists that are coming up to him and they're like, dude, what do we do? He is now the oracle that could tell the globalists how to right the ship. And he's telling them, don't model shit off China. He is acting like he is now the...
He's now the head globalist?
No, because he's...
He's now getting a consultancy fee for globalists?
No, because I think he's insinuating that he's not working with them. But the approach that they're having is different now.
Absolutely.
As opposed to trying to sucker him in and lure him over to the dark side, they're like, this dark side sucks, man. You're so good.
Alex,
we need your advice.
Alex, don't you love Satan? Don't you love Satan?
Not anymore, man. That's not how
you do it. Don't
you
want to come hang out with us?
No.
We got money. We got riches. We got power.
Smash cut to present day.
Alex, I don't know what to do.
Satan is no good.
Oh, we failed.
You were right all along.
We just staged this white supremacist massacre, and now we don't know how to take advantage of it, Alex.
Alex, please help us.
Alex, what can we do?
This is a pathetic level of narcissism, and I would love to talk to someone who listens to Alex's show who believes that story.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to figure out what it would take for you to, like, believe that.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
That's crazier than the gay wedding story that you told earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Or the globalists in the hot tub. Or anything that's ever happened on the hike and bike trail. That is crazy.
That's
the
nuts.
Idea that his... lifelong enemies have now come to
nemeses.
Have come to a point where like this shit's no good. We better call in Alex for a consult.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here. Nonsense. It's nice to take that little moment to enjoy Alex's narcissism being on full display for the world to see. Because now we get to the point where Alex actually tries to read the manifesto. And I would say don't do that. Like, just generally, don't do that.
Yeah.
Even if you are a mainstream news source, probably not in anyone's best interests to read this guy's manifesto.
Of course not.
If you're Alex, it's certainly not going to be a productive exercise. I think it's foolish.
If you're a researcher with full understanding of the context and you're trying to put this in a larger, a larger worldview that explains not just this event, but so many and how it ties all that together. And you're going to put this together over the time span of like a year. Read the hell out of that manifesto. If a mass murder happened yesterday, don't read the manifesto. Let it go.
No, and
not now.
And the essential piece is be careful. I mean, like, that's really the whatever. No matter who you are, no matter what the time frame is, but especially the day after, be careful, because you might be helping what the terrorist wanted to get out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in the same way that we've already talked over and over again about some of these things being trolly, some of them being clearly jokes and sarcastic and attempts to bait people into X, Y, or Z. If you don't know what you're doing and you just read this manifesto, you run the very serious risk of aiding the terrorist in the end goal that they seek to achieve.
Right.
It's a game that you shouldn't play unless you are very certain you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why any time that we've talked about anything from the manifesto on this episode, I've tried to make very clear that I have no idea if he's serious about this.
And yeah.
Tried to only use things as like, well, here's why it's pointless what Alex is saying.
Right.
That sort of thing.
I don't
Alex
care
does not
what he has to say.
Right. Alex seems to, but he also clearly hasn't read any of this and is just getting these excerpts from his intern. And as he reads it, he starts to like respond to it using his normal mind. And it's very interesting to see how that happens and what happens because of it. I think you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I chose firearms for the fact that it would have a social discourse. The extra media coverage they would provide and the effect it would have on the politics of the United States and thereby the political situation of the world. You see, this guy didn't feel like he had a home as a man to show he was successful. That's being done this in business, but no, he had to do it this way.
That analysis is unrelated to anything that that passage was talking about. And also, that passage from the manifesto, if taken literally, is clearly talking about, like, using people like Alex in order to cause chaos.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the idea is like, okay, so I'm going to use all of these guns because I know that people are going to then have a conversation about guns. The left is going to move on gun regulation and that sort of thing. People like Alex are going to scream about it, and it's going to turn into some sort of a further conflagration. I don't know if that's actually what he seeked to achieve, but that is what's in the manifesto. Alex is reading that, not realizing that what he is manifesting is exactly the side that the right plays in the manifesto's conception of the back and forth that will come from this attack.
Exactly.
And in this next clip, I think he starts to get petty, maybe a little bit jealous.
I would have been a better shooter than this guy.
It's less about the shooting and more about...
I have better aim.
It's more about the ideas.
The U.S. is torn into many factions by its Second Amendment, along state and social and cultural and, importantly, racial lines. With enough pressure, the left wing of the United States will seek to abolish and or attack the very freedom and liberty. This attempt at abolishment of rights by the left will result in a dramatic polarization. It's already happened, see? So now when we talk about what's already happened, oh, we got it from him. So this is all written as if, like, he discovered the wheel. He discovered electricity.
You understand what's going on there? There's a sense of Alex being like, I already know this shit, man. I've been saying this forever, which is not something you want to hear your response be to a terrorist's manifesto, sincere or not. Like, whatever he's writing, you don't want to be like, I've been saying that forever, man. Why, like, you're gonna, later, when I keep saying these things, people are gonna be like, you're just mirroring this terrorist manifesto. No, he got it from me.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That is a bad response.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that.
But you understand his insecurity and pettiness requires that be his response. He's like, this is my shit, man.
Right.
I didn't get it from him. He got it from me.
His biggest problem with the mass shooting is plagiarism.
Well, that's why you don't cold read something like this on air when you're Alex.
Probably
because
a bad
idea. Accidentally say shit like that. You're like, oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Anybody who's paying attention sees exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
You're like, Alex.
Oh, you guys think, just because he kills people, you listen to him. I have been telling you to kill people for years.
Alex, pull up, man. You are.
No, it was my ideas that led to him killing all those people.
You're heading into a tailspin, man.
Oh, just because he kills people, you think he came up with it? No, I told him to do it.
You just see Harrison Smith put his head down and walk out the door like, I tried. Oh, well. So in this next clip, I think Alex is expressing that he's mad that he didn't get a shout out in the manifesto.
I honestly believed that was going to happen before we even started this episode.
Yeah.
I honestly thought Alex was going to be like, ooh, am I in it?
I mean, he doesn't specifically say that or anything like that, but it's sort of the sense that I get behind his words.
So see, he's stating what's already happened and acting like it's him. So it's a form of delusion of grandeur. Like, I never said
which I am intimately familiar with
the Renaissance. I said I was going to promote it and try to reboot it. And our audience, together, we flipped the switch. We got it going. But to behave like he's triggering all this is just asinine. It's already been triggered.
What?
And then it just goes on from there.
What the fuck is that?
I
mean, that's way worse than him not wanting a shout out or him wanting there to be a shout out where there wasn't. He's talking about like all these ideas that this guy is putting into his manifesto. He's like, look, I'm the real leader. I rebooted 1776 2.0. I'm the one who did it. You, all our listeners, we're the real leaders. And now everyone's going to act like he did it. I've been doing this forever.
If I understand.
That's fucking nuts.
If I understand correctly. My reading is he is saying this guy's attack was unnecessary because we've already started the process by which we're going to get rid of and solve all the problems in his manifesto.
I'm not sure.
It's already been triggered. The movement to get rid of all Muslims, that's already started, man. You didn't need to kill those people.
That reading is fair.
I've been telling people to do what you told them to do. For such a long time, we've already got the ball rolling. What are you doing? You don't even bring anything to this table.
That reading is fair in some ways, I think. But I think a larger, a better reading of it is possibly, like, speaking as Alex, I am afraid that in the future, people are going to look at him as a leading figure in some sort of a pushback against invading Muslim hordes. Or whatever.
When they should
Meanwhile,
be looking to me.
I've been on that tip for a long time. And I mean, if that's your response to, first of all, the aftermath, like the day after an attack like this, a terrorist attack like this, and reading this person's manifesto, like, you are so beyond fucked up. Like,
that expresses jealousy.
Yeah, it does.
It entirely expresses jealousy of him thinking something along the lines
of the position that this person has attained.
Something along the lines of, I would be bigger if I had killed people.
I think there's a little bit there, but that's not precisely what he's saying.
I know.
Because I do think that Alex still holds to his,
I'm just digging into the actual, side meanings of all of this stuff is he's kind of saying people are going to give him credit.
Right.
For a movement that I started.
It's the push and pull, the tension, between the surface world of all this stuff where you have people like Alex, people like Ben Shapiro, Tucker, even Bill Maher, who are doing these really disgustingly anti-Islam displays on the regular.
All of whom are hilarious, right?
Sure. They do all this stuff on the, publicly and all that stuff. And then there are people like this guy who shot up these mosques who are doing the other part, which is the logical extension of their rhetoric.
Exactly.
And most people, like the Ben Shapiros of the world, whenever these terrorist attacks happen that are clearly an offshoot of what they put into the world through their discourse and rhetoric, they are like, holy shit, I'm not involved with this. How dare you say I am?
Right. And Alex
but
is
for
like,
someone like Alex,
why didn't you give me credit for this?
Well, because that's where Alex lives. And I think it's a piece of the militia tradition that he comes from, that he kind of resents the fact that he's a part of the info war and has to be. Like, he recognizes on some level.
He wants to be part of that Michigan militia, baby. They're on the front lines.
There's a tiny piece of it that he knows that there's more accolade, more acclaim, more like.
And then
people will look at you as the person who put the anti-immigrant rhetoric into action if you go shoot that stuff up. But my lot in life, speaking as Alex, is to be the guy who sounds the alarm and is always anti-violence.
Which informs that caller on our last fucking episode. Whenever the caller is like, I've been in the service, I'm in the splinter cells, I'm doing all of this shit, why don't you say an oath to the Constitution? That's Alex saying like, man, I wish I could be in that Michigan militia. I wish I could be there. You don't think I do anything because I don't kill people, man. I'm what makes your shit possible.
Right. He resents in some ways that he is not getting.
He's a facilitator.
Yep.
He doesn't like being John Stark
or John Stockton
or John Stockton,
the assist master.
Absolutely.
That sort of thing. He knows his place and he understands the cosmology. He understands the interconnectedness on some level, whether it's visceral, subconscious, or conscious. I'm not entirely sure, but he understands the structure and he resents his place in it.
Yeah.
Because it's the place that doesn't. It's the place that takes the most heat. Because there are people who complain about you all the fucking time.
Right.
And it's the place that doesn't, get the, real crazies, enthusiastic. Like,
he doesn't want to be the shield. He wants to be the sword.
Yeah. There's something to that.
Yeah.
So in the manifesto, this guy, said, like, yeah, in the Q&A section that he has with himself, he asks, are you a Trump supporter? And his response is along the lines of, as someone who has given a resurgence to white identity and that sort of thing, yes, I support him. As a policymaker, absolutely not. Here's Alex's attempt to read that and respond to it.
Where are you as supporter of Donald Trump? Are you a supporter? As a symbol of renewed white identity, which is not what Trump's even doing. He's identity of free market and Americana and unifying. See, that's the lie.
White.
See, you read this. This is leftist stuff. A bunch of professors wrote this month.
Okay. All right.
So we're full on false flagging.
Well, I mean, let's unpack that for a second. Like the idea that he's putting forth that leftist professors wrote this manifesto then necessarily requires that they were
the
also
the leftist professors had stridently and stringently resourced and researched all of their possible writings in order to perfectly create a facsimile of what a right-wing person would say.
I'd be fine with that. Like that.
It sounds like either way, it's an accurate reflection of white supremacy.
Right, but that's not a bridge too far. Like the idea that leftist professors, nefarious ones who have supposedly written this manifesto, did research and found out what a right-wing terrorist would say. I don't believe that. That's too hard to believe.
No. What I'm saying is that it wouldn't matter either way.
No,
it's like the time travel argument.
Fine.
I agree. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's only because they know what a right wing person would say that they would write what.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm talking about something slightly to the side of that.
Okay.
And that is that if these leftist professors wrote this, it necessarily requires that they also had a hand in the actual shooting.
Right. And that's right. Or so, they were at least aware of how the shooting. Yeah.
Right.
They didn't write it 20 minutes after the shooting happened being like, right. We got him.
Right.
They didn't create back, like backdated 4chan posts and all of that shit.
Right. They didn't, I mean, what it would require is an unthinkable ability to control coincidence.
Yep.
Or they planned the entire fucking thing
from the beginning.
So that's kind of what he's putting into the world. Trump has given a resurgence to white identity. That is just
kind of a
descriptively
big thing he does.
Yeah. So, in this next clip, Alex talks about how in the manifesto, he talks about how, Candace Owens radicalized him. Now, all the reporting that I've seen on it, outside of Twitter, because Twitter is a no man's land.
Yeah.
The actual reporting on it, every article that I've read has been like, this is clearly a joke.
Right.
Alex, in this next clip, clearly recognizes that it is a joke, but he refuses to accept that as a part of his narratives. that you can see if you listen very closely, or even not that closely, you will see that he knows it was a joke.
Is there a particular person that radicalized you the most? Yes. The person that has influenced me above all was Candace Owens. Each time she spoke, I was stunned by her insights, and her own views helped push me further and further into the belief of violence over meekness. This is a total sick trolling. Though I will have to disavow some of her beliefs, the extreme action she calls for are too much, even for my taste. That is a total satanic inversion of reality. This is a left-hand path devil note.
So he recognizes the reality of it, yeah. That he's trolling
it's
people.
It's trolling,
with this,
yeah.
But then insists that, no, it's devilry.
But the trolling itself is also proof that he's right.
I guess.
That Candace Owens did radicalize him because he's influenced by Satan.
I think it's super unlikely if someone's writing something, like, whether sincere or not, like with the manifesto, like, that's pointing out old 1930s fascists and, like, marginally obscure 1930s fascists, and Anders Breivik and Dylan Roof and these sorts of people, and then they say that their main source of radicalization is Candace Owens. You can't take that seriously. Like, it just indicates nonsensicalness. And for Alex to recognize that it is fucking around on some level,
yeah.
And then refuse to accept what that implies, is just so indicative of how he does business. It's just terrible.
Yep.
So we've already heard him, Matt Bracken, and Stuart Rhodes indicate that they kind of agree largely with what motivated this terrorist act. And as Alex is reading this manifesto, he closes out his analysis with, once again, agreeing with him.
Won't your attack result in calls for removal of gun rights from whites in the United States? Yes, that's the plan all along. You said you would fight to protect your rights in the Constitution. Well, soon will come the time. That's what I keep telling people.
That's not good.
Oh, no, that's you shouldn't read a mass murderer's manifesto out loud and say, that's what I've been telling people.
Look, man, this guy gets it. That's not good.
Nope.
That is shit. So towards the end of Alex's time on this episode, because he has someone else host the fourth hour, he keeps saying that Millie Weaver is coming up, and so I turned off the episode.
Good call.
Like, I don't give a shit. Whatever Rainbow Snatch has to say about this sort of thing, not interested.
Uh-uh.
Not buying
don't
that.
Don't give a fuck.
So Alex closes out his analysis with this next clip.
Analysis is a strong word.
Very generous on my part. He closes out his...
support for a white nationalist terrorist.
I was going to say his bullshit with this. Similar ways to characterize this. And here's where he's at the end of this day, this Friday episode.
This is a psyop. This is globalism wrote large. And I will tell you at a gut level, this guy had help. This is synthetic, and it's the start of more. This is how the globalists are going to counter nationalism, is having this guy be our spokesperson when he's not a nationalist. He even tells you he's a global fascist.
No, he said he was an eco-fascist.
Guy had help. It was a synthetic.
But he might have had help. We don't. On Saturday, the reporting, there are other people who have been arrested,
right.
But we don't know the like the full scope of.
I think the important word there is synthetic.
Yeah,
I think that
and
might
it's
be
a psyop.
I think it might be that one.
Again, with the caveat that there's possible insincerity in the manifesto that needs to be constantly reiterated. But if you take the manifesto just based on what it says, the writer is definitely explicitly a nationalist. He uses the 14. He uses the word 14 times in the document. He also uses the 14 words
naturally
of white supremacy. And he uses the word nationalist in these contexts. Quote, I am not a direct member of any organization or group, though I have donated to many nationalist groups and interacted with many more. In response to his own question, quote, were you or are you a nationalist? He replies, quote, yes, predominantly an ethno-nationalist. Later he says, quote, I am an ethno-nationalist. Just pretty overt. So for Alex to say he's not a nationalist, the only information Alex has to go on is this possibly dubious manifesto. But if he goes on it, the guy very literally says that he's a nationalist repeatedly.
Do you know, I think the reason that I don't care what he has to say, the manifesto, I think the main reason is the same reason I don't care if, you know, somebody, some GOP senator says that they're not a racist.
Right.
Like, I don't care what you say because everything you do specifically and targetedly affects minorities.
Right.
In a negative way.
How do you define racist? We can't.
Yeah.
We can't.
I don't care.
We can't have an argument about whether or not you are self-reporting as a racist if we don't trust your definition of that word.
Right. I don't trust anything that this guy has to say. I don't care about anything that guy has to say because he went to a mosque.
Yeah.
And he murdered people.
Mm-hmm.
And that explains itself.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, it does.
You know why he killed people.
It does. And I want to be clear. I don't think that you're saying this, but I just want to reinforce. I also don't care what he said in his manifesto.
Yeah, no, I was absolutely not saying that.
I know.
Yeah.
But the only reason I keep bringing up stuff from it is because Alex is bringing up stuff from it, and I'm responding to him.
You're doing diligence.
Well,
for sure.
I'm not sure I am, and maybe there's a piece of it that I shouldn't have engaged at all.
Hmm.
There is an argument to be made for that, and I'm fine hearing it if someone has that criticism.
Yeah.
The only reason I felt any need to bring anything into it, I think we've done a decent job of calling out repeatedly that who knows if this is sincere or not.
And also, who cares what it
says?
And
who cares? Yes. Yeah. But if Alex is going to play that game, kind of it behooves me to know what Alex is talking about.
I was just trying to express that I will not be swayed or influenced or consider any argument that involves something that's in that manifesto.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a shit about, you can tell me what his manifesto said. I'm so cool with that. But if you say, because his manifesto said this, you should, I'm done.
Yeah. And that's why I tried to make it very clear too in my point that I was saying about Alex having blood on his hands about this. It has
absolutely
nothing to do with the manifesto. It has
absolutely
everything to do with the reality of the world and what he does.
Absolutely.
So, Jordan.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right.
It's all too clear to see what's happening here on this episode, I think, now that we've come to the end of it. Alex knows that this is big, and he knows that he has to fight back against the idea that this really was a xenophobic anti-Muslim terrorist, because of course he does. But there's a part of me that suspects he doesn't even understand the scope of what he's dealing with right now. As we touched on in the last episode, a major element of the undoing of the militia patriot community in the mid-90s was Timothy McVeigh. The ugly face of what was being preached on shortwave radio and on hidden message boards was put on full display, and people had to deal with what was in front of them. When shown in the full light of day, it became incredibly clear to everyone that these militia groups were radicalizing crazy people, and it was an inevitable conclusion that eventually someone was going to follow through with their logic and kill tons of people. If you truly believe that a global elite group are planning on bringing in an oppressive worldwide dictatorship that involves universal oppression forever, it stands to reason that you might consider options other than, I don't know, starting an absurdly dumb radio show and then eventually selling boner pills as your plan of action. A certain amount of people who truly believe that message are going to become terrorists, and they're going to believe that they're justified to do so. And Timothy McVeigh forced people to see what was really going on in a way that they didn't have to previously. This terrorist attack in Christchurch has the potential to be the same sort of watershed moment for what the militia patriot movement has become. They still love their guns and yell about the New World Order, but the primary preoccupation of people in that community is a hatred of and an agitation towards Muslims. Everyone kind of knows that on some level, but most people are going about their daily lives, and they don't have to know about white genocide narratives that are pushed in these communities, or the idea of a demographic cliff and the replacement theory. A terrorist act like this makes them have to look at it in a way that Timothy McVeigh forced normal people to learn about the New World Order or the idea of a Zionist-occupied government. The idea that replacement theory, the idea of the replacement theory is one that ultimately, by definition, must lead to violence and murder. There's just no other way around it. If your problem is that, and I'm just making up these numbers here, Muslims in America have twice the birth rate of white people, and you're scared that eventually that will lead to them having the numbers required to take over the country, you have an unsolvable problem. Well, you have you're a horrendous bigot who defines people based on one attribute, but you also have an unsolvable problem. And it's this. At what point do relative birth rates become acceptable to you? Can it be 1-to-1 between races? can you only accept a 0.75 to 1 birth rate between non-whites and whites? How are you going to enforce that sort of plan? Before you even touch on the logistics of what these people are complaining about and pushing for, you're already at the point of racial quotas. When a person who isn't a zealot, blinded by hate that is constantly reinforced by manipulative propaganda, is exposed to these sorts of ideas, the logical endpoint they see of this thinking becomes clear. The first suggestion that would probably be made would be to forcefully deport all people who don't fit the conception of what you want the population to be. Many of those people would have been born here, and a forced deportation would necessarily economically cripple them, if not put them in legitimate danger and their life at risk, depending on where you're sending them. And then you have to consider the fact that at least some of those people that you want to deport wouldn't agree to go along with it. Possibly many of them wouldn't. Then what? Well, I guess you'd have to put them in internment camps. And before you know it, we're already at the first stages of another Holocaust, and we're not even talking about the point where it's, let's kill them. Just the logistical aspects of what this worldview implies leads you to the first steps of the Holocaust. Absolutely, without exception. There's no way around it.
Yep.
I've thought about this a great deal. If you are obsessed with demographic cliff ideas and these sort of variable birth rate ideas, the next step in the conversation that you have to have is basically this. Like, at what point is it okay?
Right.
Because if your problem is Muslim breeding or something like that, what level of Muslims having kids are you okay with? Where is the line?
Well, I mean, I suppose the only difference that the white nationalist Nazis now would attempt to claim from the Nazis, is that they don't want to create the Holocaust. They want to look, if we were running Germany in the 1930s, we would have just moved all the Jews to Israel. We wouldn't have killed them. Israel's for Jews.
Right.
Saudi Arabia's for Muslims. America's for white folk. See, we're way better than the Nazis of old. How dare you compare us to Hitler? We want you to have a home.
Let's not deal with the fact that you're totally fine with, let's say, Germans living in America.
Hold on. Whoa. They're Western. Whoa.
Yeah, I know. They would do something like that. But
yeah.
Even that conversation, if allowed to carry through to its next
beat. I mean,
beat,
well, we're, if they don't go, then we have to kill them.
Right.
Well, I mean, of course.
Right. Or intern them in concentration
camps.
Well,
yeah. And then deport them. And if they try and come back, well, we'll have to kill them. I mean, we just don't have a choice.
That is an implicit piece that's behind
this
worldview.
Absolutely.
And if people are forced to look at it, they will understand. I hope they'll understand that a little better. And this is not some kind of thing where liberals just call everything they disagree with Nazis. This is a very natural extension of where the logic of demographic anxiety leads. And one of the reasons that this line of thinking often leads to murder is because the idea of following through with this ideology in any other way, it just becomes absurd. If you even think about it for a short amount of time, you start to realize how fucking stupid the ideas of trying to put this in action in any other way is. So if you are someone who believes in these ideas, you probably start thinking about it like, well, yeah, we could put people in camp, but you know, that would be so expensive to run all those camps, so let's just fucking kill them.
The same people who bitch about the deficit are then going to go out of their way to create a humane ethno-state.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
And that's why...
They're going to kill.
And that's why this mentality, as it trickles down into the drain, ends up...
Same people who believe in trickle-down economics!
Well, but it ends up in murder because
it's the cheapest,
but it is also what's logically consistent with this worldview. Like I don't mean to say that it makes sense. I just mean that if you take the thinking to the extension and the next step after that, it is not absurd if you agree with the first premise to get to the conclusion that murder is okay for these people.
Exactly.
And
even if you say you agree with the premise, but then you say, well, but we would never let it get that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You're full of shit.
Right.
You would.
Well, and you couldn't control it even if you wanted to.
It's like when
You couldn't. You absolutely couldn't.
Not.
In the same way that I'm sure a lot of the people who were making good money off the militia stuff in the 90s were like, well, we hope we can control people from actually bombing federal buildings.
Right.
But you can't. You can't do it. You can't control this beast that you put out into the world with this right. rhetoric. Because there are people who will hear you, take you seriously, and think, well, I'm going to be a hero by doing this.
Right.
Because I'm standing up in a way that no one else will. People who agitate towards things that lead to hate crimes need to be dealt with as accessories to hate crimes. I don't know how you do that. I'm not entirely sure what policy exactly needs to be made, but we need to start having that conversation. And I'm just sick of this shit. So I've said my piece.
I think that's what needs to be said.
Sorry to yell at you.
No. What? You're going to apologize to me?
Well, it's kind of out of character, out of our dynamic.
It is. Well, it's a welcome change.
I got a little head of steam.
It's a welcome change. I think what's amazing this episode is how many candidates we have for the people who have not killed a guy. And I'm going to go with literally every Muslim organization that you said.
Oh, yeah.
That
all the people
you,
who have denounced terrorism.
We have 100 Muslim organizations who have probably technically never fucking killed a guy, Dan.
Yeah, but one guy who technically probably has is the guy who says that they've never condemned any kind of terrorism, and he's a pile of shit. That guy's name's Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.